The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Right this way, folks. You're now entering the courting room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in Progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in Progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perullo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork. Come, Luigi.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are all corks the same?
No. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker. Yeah.
I dabbled in college.
PFW in Progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget. This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Welcome to PFW in Progress, and as you can tell immediately, Fred Kirsch, not here today. Off campus, as Paul Perullo likes to put it, business meeting. He's a very important guy. I'm sure it has something to do with technology and the advancement of mankind, or at least the Patriots organization. His future, and the future of the organization, rests in his hands. But Paul Perullo, myself, Andy Hart, are here from noon to 2, and we apologize for the slightly late start. We had a little technical difficulties here with some of the computers. Kevin quite capably worked his way through it, and we hopefully are now live and streaming and on the air and talking Patriots, Texans, the biggest game week of the year for the New England Patriots. Going over the schedule a little bit, Tom Brady just wrapped up his weekly press conference, and he acknowledged that it's a special week, measuring stick type game, playing against the best team that has yet to lose in the American Football Conference. And he also acknowledged the fact that it's a Monday night affair, still gets a little bit of a different feel to it, a little attention. And because of that, by the way, Patriots hold a walkthrough today, will not have a regular practice, will not have an injury report, bump everything back a day as they prepare for the Monday night game. And Bill Belichick is actually speaking as we speak, doing his Wednesday press conference. We saw him heading up.
In fact, he followed us as we were heading here to the radio station.
Finished his all-access taping and was heading on up to the press box to meet with the media. And other news of note for the week, Dante Stallworth back in the fold. The veteran has rejoined the team. Julian Edelman, with a reported broken foot that will reportedly require surgery, placed on injured reserve. And Mitch Petras, gone. And also a couple guys signed to the practice squad that I don't remember. A
couple of offensive linemen that I think we need to delve into all that.
But you'll note from those transactions that they released two, opened up two roster spots by releasing Petras and putting Edelman on IR, filled one of them with Stallworth, have another one that potentially, I would think, could go to Brandon Bolden, whose suspension is over. They have a roster exemption until next week after the game, but if they choose to activate him, he could take that final roster spot, or who knows, maybe they could look for depth on the offensive line and activate somebody from the practice. Who knows? It could go a few different ways, and Bill may not even know at this point. Maybe it'll go somewhere later in the week. But I guess the interesting note, and I asked Brady about this post-game, is you have another target that he's familiar with, Dante Stallworth. And after a game where he threw 31 passes to Welker and Hernandez, completed half of them to those guys, maybe the addition of Stallworth will open something up on the outside, or maybe It was a one-game thing with Lloyd being really irrelevant. Maybe he'll have a bigger role this week. But certainly a lot of people talk about the Patriots spreading out the Texans and attacking them. Well, can you really spread out just two guys? If it's Hernandez and Welker, can you spread them out?
Yeah, and that's part of the thing that worries me, Andy, because I would have thought about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have thought this was lining up to be a real good offensive day for the Patriots because of that. I think the Texans can be spread out a little bit, which somewhat negates that pressure that they provide. But now, with Gronkowski out and Lloyd not really providing much of an option.
And even Edelman out.
And now Edelman, not providing an option. I wonder if they have the personnel to spread them out, to try to get the Texans off balance. We'll find out. We'll see how that goes, on Monday night. I think 10-1 last 11 Monday night games for the Patriots, or 11-1, something like that. Really, really good record. As Andy and I like to say, not a lot of records involving the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick Patriots that don't have a record like that.
That's why Monday night games in December in the second half of the season at home. Bet you they're good in those, too.
45-3. So you have that. And Houston, on the other side of it, is undefeated on the road this year. Their one loss was at home against Green Bay. So they are not only unbeaten in the American Football Conference, as you said that Brady said, they're also...
Well, he may not have said that. I added that.
They're also unbeaten on the road. I think they're 6-0 on the road. So... something we'll have to give on Monday night.
Not surprisingly, one of the big topics was the Texans defense, and the biggest topic on the Texans defense is obviously J.J. Watt, or J.J. Swatt, as you like to call him, and that was discussed. As Brady said, he certainly expects the racquetball paddles to be out this week as, ball boys and defensive linemen prepare him to deal with J.J. Watt, and he clearly doesn't like it. He doesn't care for it. He made that pretty clear, that he doesn't like these weeks when they come out.
Well...
He tries to convince Bill not to do it very often.
And think back to the sound effects of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, when he brought up the Giants.
Yeah, he had a hard time with that, and he was like, it's like throwing in a forest or something like that.
Yeah, he brought up, we do this a lot, and there's a lot of teams that can do this. The Giants did a really good job of it last year. But he certainly said he expects to see those paddles out. And he said they're always there. They're always in a bag, kind of on the periphery, so that Bill knows that he knows that they're coming out at some point.
Do you think, and this might be something maybe we can ask Bill about on Friday, at the press conference on Friday, but do you think, Watt is so adept at knocking down passes. I mean, this is, like, ridiculous.
It's from what I've seen, the notes only include him and Reggie White.
Okay, would you go into a game and have that affect your game plan? Say, I'm not sure I can throw anything short to that side.
I mean, I think you'd try to not. I mean, you need to be aware of anything that could be a factor, I think. And that is certainly something that could be a factor. Now, they've talked a little bit about how they move him around. He's, sort of their 3-4 end in base, but they're more in sub
tackles
than base,
sub,
so he moves inside. And then obviously off of that, you never know when they're going to play games with him and then loop him around. He could be coming from, a gap over, a man over from where you expect. And on that aspect, Brady said you just have to have confidence. You have to have confidence in your offensive lineman that they're going to get the job done. As a quarterback, he needs to be able to think about safeties, corners, linebackers, coverages, things of that nature. And he can't spend a lot of time worrying about where a defensive end, defensive tackle is. And so that... that puts a premium on Nate Solder. That puts a premium on Donald Thomas and those guys to step up and, punch Watt in the gut and get those hands down, keep him from... Well, I mean, that's one of the ways you get the hands down.
Yeah, I just...
Logan Mankins would do it.
But my point is with that? I mean,
I think you have to be aware of it, but you cannot necessarily...
Yeah, because you don't have a lot of guys that alter this many passes.
Right. Oh, no.
And at the same
time...
As
Bill said yesterday, it's a career for most defensive linemen, and he's doing it in 1 year.
And as much as Ndamukong Suh would like to just completely
ignore that...
I know you don't always
take Bill at his word.
No, not since 2001. But... He, with Watt, you can get that great job done by the defensive, by the offensive line, and they can completely shut him down, and yet he can still knock down, a pass or two.
Problem with him, he's in on every play.
He's
second on the team with like 80-something tackles.
Yeah.
He has 15 sacks. He has 15 pass knockdowns. He's got a forced fumble. If you do like a per-play percentage, he's in on everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Pretty good player now.
Yeah, and just let me reiterate for about the 100th time.
We didn't like him?
I didn't like him on tape in college. And I know
come on. He's a rich man's Mike Wright. That's what I called
him. There were a lot of people that felt like he was a really good fit for the Patriots. I think a lot of people had him tied to the Patriots, and I was sort of pleased in that camp. And obviously, I've been wrong.
Might not have worked here. Doesn't always work the same.
No, but clearly
places.
The talent was there. I didn't see the talent
maybe,
on tape.
Maybe the talent was there.
I saw a high motor player.
Maybe he purchased the talent.
I didn't
when
see
he got
the ability.
I'm not so sure he doesn't buy his talent over the border. But, you know, that's for Alvin in Texas.
All
to
right,
talk
Felger.
What? I'm just saying. The team has a track record. Fact, not opinion, if you want to compare me to Felger.
Do the Patriots have a track record?
Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly. They take Adderall.
Who has more of a track record?
Of taking Adderall? The Patriots.
No. Of having guys suspended for PEDs.
Well, but the Patriots are Adderall. I don't think Brian Cushing claimed it was Adderall.
He might have.
I don't think he did. I don't recall.
I think we dismissed that as out of hand.
It's Adderall.
The same way we did with Aqib Talib, Brandon Bolden, and Jermaine Cunningham.
You're such a cynic. But you can join the cynic and the optimist, Paul and Andy, if you want. It's 508.
That's what a lot of people think of you in that way.
Optimist.
The
yes.
Optimist, yeah.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline if you want to join us on the phone. And as always, when it's a two-man show, we really do appreciate the phone calls. Makes it easier for us to get the discussion going, to have a little more back and forth rather than simply one host and one guest. And Paul is certainly my guest today. I'm the host. If you want to email us, it is webradio@patriots.com. webradio@patriots.com. But again, we prefer a phone call. 508-298-0398. I have no idea where Fred really is, but it is probably a technology-based meeting, as I said. And Eric, I'm guessing, will be in after the walkthrough practice. He should actually be out there right now. 12:05 was the scheduled access time for walkthroughs. And he and Mike Rodak were in the Brady press conference lamenting, trying to do attendance at a walkthrough when nobody has jerseys on and they're trying to figure out who's out there and who
God only knows how much he can complain about this.
Oh, he'll bitch about it. And if you want to talk about the Kraft family, Patriots, Kraft Sports Productions holiday party last night, it was a hopping one.
I hear you guys were ripping it up.
Oh, I stayed to the end. I represented. I had to represent. Everybody else from PFW and Patriots.com basically left. And
really?
Who knew I had to be the Mr. Social and hang out and really carry the torch on the flag?
Who else left besides? Well, I know Fred was leaving.
I know you left. So. Fred left. Moore
Paul and
left.
I had an engagement, Andy.
Yeah. A low-level loser engagement. I didn't know the loser convention was in town, but it certainly was last night. We're not going to talk about it. That's the end of it.
We don't need to talk about it because you... You shouldn't talk about things you know nothing about.
The first time,
although you do that for 2 hours.
It was a loser convention, I know that. For the first time in a decade, we had
a loser convention than the one you were at.
Well, it's not really the same thing. You had to be invited to the loser convention I was at. The loser convention you were at, they would take anybody who was willing to fill a seat. Proved by the fact that Kevin was allowed in the place. But anyway, that was on the table. Yeah, another idiotic thing for both of you guys, you know.
I wasn't rooting against my alma mater.
Not on this particular night.
They didn't play last night.
But negativity is just in this room. I am the only bastion of hope and positivity. Paul Perillo, early feelings on this matchup, because in my mind, it has the potential to be the game of the year for the Patriots.
Well, I think it's the best team they've played so far.
Well, yeah. That's,
you know, I think it's exciting, especially after six straight weeks of cupcakes. You know, and I include the Colts, by the way.
Whose phone's vibrating?
I think that was mine. I include the Colts in that because even though they're 8-4, I don't think they're a very talented football team. I'm really excited about the whole situation.
Paul's phone is just blowing up, yo.
Yeah, now Maury's we're getting some Comcast texts midstream here. I feel like this is a game that we're going to overrate regardless of what happens. I think if the Patriots were to lose, I think people are going to be really down about it. And, you know, it's not really going to mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. If they win, I think we're conversely going to overrate it and dismiss Houston as a threat in the AFC playoffs. And I think that will be equally wrong. I'm very much looking forward to it because I do feel like it's the two best teams in the AFC right now. I think it's every bit as big a game as people are saying. I just don't think the long-term implications are as big as they're going to be made out to be, if that makes any sense. So I do think it's a really, really big game, but I don't think the winner sort of dismisses the loser in the playoffs.
Who's it a bigger game for? I mean, I'm assuming
it's
you
a bigger
Houston,
game.
But...
It's a big. I think there's more pressure on the Patriots to win because they're at home and they're behind. But I think that Houston has a sort of a statement to make, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. I mean,
even
I
though they're 11-1,
no one
they've never been here,
right.
And everybody's dismissing them. Because I mean, they're 4-point underdogs.
Intelligent people like Mike Felger. They can't win because they never won.
Right.
Really, that makes sense.
So I think there's some I think there's pressure on the Patriots to win because they're at home. And if they can't win at home, what's the matter over there? You're making all kinds of gestures.
Mankins and Jones at walkthrough today, he wants me to tell you.
Okay.
Everybody goes to walkthrough
right.
Something. If you can walk, you go to a walkthrough.
I do think that Houston has some pressure on them because I do think that Matt Schaub has never been in this situation. He was hurt last year when they made their playoff run.
They could always turn to their playoff quarterback, T.J. Yates, right?
Right, right. He has the experience. And that and Felger would say that means that they can win. So I do think that there's some pressure on Houston to perform well in this game as well. But I do think the Patriots at home, they're going to be hard-pressed. Even if the Patriots win the game, they're going to be hard-pressed to overtake Houston for the seeding, because I think Houston has three very winnable games after the Patriots. They play Indy twice and another division team, I believe, that they should win. And two of those three games are at home. I think they're probably going to finish with two losses at most. So they're going to have to – the Patriots are going to have to then go to Houston, more than likely, to get to the Super Bowl. If you have to do that having lost to them at home, I think that's a big mental hurdle to overcome.
Being the host that I am, I knew you were going to start talking seeding and things of that nature, so I opened up an email that was in the inbox that said, could Pats be the fourth seed? This is from Dave in Florida. I hear everyone talking about the Patriots getting the first or second seed. How about a little different shakeup? Pats loose one more, Ravens loose one more, and Denver goes undefeated. Playoff picture looks like Texans 14-2 is the one seed, Denver 13-3 is the two seed, Ravens 12-4 is the three seed, Patriots 12-4 is the four seed. Pats win its first home playoff game, Pittsburgh or Colts, which we're just giving them, then travel to Houston and win again, face Denver in Denver. There you go, Manning Brady for the AFC Championship. Unlikely, but interesting, and it could happen. What do you think? Keep up the great work, Dave in Florida.
That scenario you just unfolded is not all that unlikely. I think that's...
I'll tell you what I think's unlikely.
Baltimore only losing one game?
No, the Patriots winning in Houston and in Denver to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, I agree. The only part of that scenario that he unfolds there that I think is a bit unlikely is Baltimore only losing one out of their last four games.
Not to mention, I'm not even really comfortable with the Pittsburgh matchup early, so now I have to go through Pittsburgh, Houston and Denver, two of those on the road.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is a team that that 3 or 4 seed is not going to want to see Pittsburgh. They're gonna, you remember back in 2005 when the Patriots sort of played around with the Dolphins in that last game because they wanted to play Jacksonville or the Jets or whatever. Maybe it was 2006. I forget which year. One of those years they sort of played around to dictate the seeds. I could see that happening this year if the teams are in 3 and 4. I think people are going to want to play Indianapolis and not Pittsburgh.
I also don't like in this little stretch here, you play the Texans, then you play the Niners, then you got a couple very cupcake games, then you play Pittsburgh and you play the Texans again. So I've played in what a 7-game span. I've played Houston twice, Pittsburgh once, and
that's a good point.
You know, that's getting your ass beat up. Talk about a team that's banged up now and only has two receivers. I mean, you could potentially be really beat up. You're already down to your, I don't even know the number now, 7th offensive lineman, 8th, 9th offensive lineman. Yeah. That's a stretch of games that I don't like how that's unfolding.
Physical teams that you'd have to play in some cases more than once in a short period of time. That's a good point. Yeah. Are you surprised you just brought up the offensive line? Are you surprised that they would let Petras go? Now, when they didn't really have to make that decision, probably until closer to game, is that a good sign that maybe Dan Conley, is okay, or that Mankins, who you just mentioned, is out at the walkthrough? Maybe they think he's coming back this week.
Could be.
You know, why would
Petras was just sick and couldn't practice?
Oh, well, that's true too. He had
an illness. Didn't was inactive. Illness.
Maybe that's part of it.
And if you're not, I mean,
I was trying to look at the bright side. I was trying to play your side of the street, Andy. I was trying to be the optimist, and I was looking at the fact that they felt comfortable enough to let a backup guard go when they have some issues at guard. I was looking at that as a positive, but maybe you're right.
Before we get more into the game and webradio@patriots.com, the emails are coming in. It's not in here, but there was an email earlier this week from our friend Bill Berry, who I know you love.
Best emailer ever.
I actually agreed with him 100%, and it's something I've been meaning to talk about for like 3 weeks and keep forgetting about. I think the NFL has a terrible ad campaign on TV about online ordering, and basically makes it look like if you order jerseys from NFL.com, you're a loser geek who lives in your mom's basement. You know, so, hey, Steven Jackson, is that the message you want to send, that if you order a jersey, you're a loser, you live in your mom's basement? I mean, is that the message? Wouldn't the better message to send be show a wide varying degree of people? Like, show the VP of something leaving the boardroom and he peels off his suit and there's a jersey underneath because he's going to a game. Then show the auto mechanic. Then maybe show a doctor. Show a teacher. Instead, you're making it look like only losers care about the NFL and buy jerseys. Is that really the message you want to be sending?
They're catering to their audience.
And my guess is someone made hundreds of thousands of dollars to come up with this ad campaign, which is then being spent millions of dollars on to promote, to say, if you buy a jersey from us, you're a loser and a geek and you live with your mother in the basement.
Is that really
what we want to be saying?
I have a hard time arguing with any of that.
Bill Berry had an email kind of bringing that up. He said, you know, I was going to buy a jersey tonight, but then I saw this commercial that basically made it seem like anyone who orders a jersey is a loser and lives. I mean, I don't know how you could take any other message from it. It's an embarrassment.
As I said, they're catering to their audience. They know who buys those jerseys.
Yeah, but I think by catering to them, you're kind of reminding them
I'm being sarcastic.
Stupid losers, as you think they are.
Barry Sanders' football life tonight. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, who cares?
What?
It's all
because he's not as good as Bo.
It's all just a holdover till Saturday night.
Oh, that's a different
for an hour and a half.
That's a 30.
We can
30.
All remember and recollect, and maybe even shed a tear at what Bo was and what he never was. Which
clean.
Is the sad part. No.
Oh.
He never lived up to, we never had the opportunity to
I'm
reach
looking
his
forward
potential.
To watching that one as well. No, I'm looking forward to watching Bo.
Bo
and
was
I'm
taken
forward
from
to watching
us.
Sanders
took himself from us.
No, I'm not saying I'm looking forward to watching Barry Sanders because I think he's this great guy that I can't wait to.
I don't know that he's not, anyway.
You know, I have no idea. He's out of the league long before I ever came around here.
Speaking of such, long before, I found it very interesting. I was typing up. I did a getting to know this week with Devin McCourty. And one of the interesting things was if you could meet anyone, anytime, any play, you know, whatever. He picked Wilt Chamberlain. And he said, I always loved him growing up. And I'm thinking, you're younger than me.
You love him
I've
growing
never
up.
Seen Wilt Chamberlain play.
I've never seen him
seen
play.
Very
I'm older
little
than
of
you.
Him. You know, the most memorable thing from him is the 100 photo, the handwritten 100 photo.
Yeah, that lame.
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I've probably seen a little bit of highlights of him and Russell or something, but I mean, it's not even like there's this archive of NBA films where you watch these long shows on people. Not even that really exists. I've seen a lot more old football players and, you know, career retrospectives, things than I am Wilt Chamberlain. So,
and I'm 10 years older than you, and I have seen nothing of Wilt Chamberlain.
It's strange that he, you know, loved Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Cerebral answer, though.
Sure.
Let's just
basketball.
Go with, like, LeBron.
All his answers are basketball. Well, that was for a day. If he could switch with anybody, it would be not LeBron, Kevin Durant. But, and if he wasn't making money playing football, he'd be playing professional basketball.
Yeah, Barry Sanders, you know, he retired. What did he retire? Like, late 90s? He probably retired around the time that I started here. But because I do remember there was some talk of him possibly coming back and if he would be a free agent and the Patriots should get it. But that was around the time either that I was about to leave the Herald and come here, but you know, never covered him or anything like that. So I just think that he's an interesting. I think anytime a guy leaves at the height of his career like that, I think there's an interesting element to that story that you want to sort of go behind the scenes on and find out. You know, Jim Brown. You know, remember Jim Brown didn't play for very long, and he decided, you know, the height of his career, rushing champ and highest per carry average for minimum number of carries, I believe, or he's up there anyway. He just decides to up and retire and go and make movies and stuff. And I find some of these guys interesting. Not necessarily likable in Jim Brown's case. He's a pretty abrasive personality.
Sure.
But I do think there's an element of intrigue there. And that's how I kind of look at Barry Sanders. I'm going to try to watch that tonight.
Okay, I'm excited. Enjoy that.
And there's your boy, Bo. We're going to try to watch that on Saturday night.
Oh, I'm going to watch that more than once. I already got it set up to tape.
Only Andy could make watching a documentary sound creepy. Oh, I'm going to watch that more than once.
Let's get to some emails, okay? Webradio@patriots.com.
We're going to be joined by Eric a little earlier than normal today, I think.
Oh.
There he is.
So we got that going for us, which is nice. Is Eric hosting? Eric's walking into three, all dressed
nice
in
gesture.
red, the PFW.
Well, I had to wear red because I wore red yesterday, and I have to do the interview
Eric,
today.
You just did it. Wiggle that thing or something.
Wiggle it just a little bit.
Yeah, and go. It sounds like...
Yeah, there's something going on there.
Shite. Yep. Nope.
That's me because I turned it off.
You, huh. I'm still... Yeah, we can't hear you. See if he turns it. Wiggle it. You know what we should do? I should go in my normal seat, and you should sit in the host seat, and that would clarify all the problems. Yeah, we should probably do that. That's probably the best.
Or you could just take Rook's seat.
Yeah, he could do that too.
Yeah, but then he wouldn't have to read the emails.
I'm actually fine hosting. I enjoy hosting sometimes. Although I have a tickle, I'm just going to warn you. At any point, I could break into a coughing fit.
Yeah, I had no. I mean,
so
after
if you hit that button. Yep.
After last week was over, I was fine with it.
Eric, I respect everything you do, and as such, well, not everything. Just
yeah, I was
really,
going to say. Where
I respect
where
that you go
from?
To practice.
Not
so
anything. Really.
Give us a practice update. I'm not going to wait an hour like Fred usually makes you.
Okay, thank you. Well, it's a walkthrough today.
A gray waffle.
Yes. Now you are acting like
it's like a washed out gray too.
Yeah, faded.
Yeah, yeah, more neutral.
Too much time in the bookstore.
Exactly. You like that, huh?
Not really. Fred actually brought it up on the show.
Did he? What a jerk.
Yep. He certainly didn't bring it up in a positive light.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, it was a walkthrough today, so
you couldn't get attendance. I heard you and Rodak pre-complaining.
Well. We came pretty close this time.
Okay.
It wasn't as bad as the last time. We only had four guys that we couldn't account for, two of whom I'm not totally surprised we didn't see, Gronk and Nick McDonald, who even though he continued to play
in and out
in the second half, I think they only did that because they were desperate to have bodies in there.
They really just don't like Marcus Cannon, huh?
Well,
they played a guy at right tackle who appeared like he had a bad back, and they played a guy at right guard who looked like he was injured. And
yeah,
it's like they don't want to play Marcus Cannon.
I was stunned that
which I agree with.
I was stunned that Vollmer was able to play the whole game. The fact that he was in there at all.
But what does that say about what they think of a healthy Marcus Cannon versus a clearly limited Sebastian Vollmer?
Yeah,
it's not a good sign.
No, it's not. And McDonald toughed it out, too. He came back after a couple series in the start of the second half. So those two guys we didn't see, not totally surprising. Didn't account for Shane Vereen or Dante Hightower, but that's not to say that they weren't there. We just had a very, very brief window.
Hopefully
we did the best we could getting the guys as they came in. But other than that, Brandon Bolden returned. He was there for his first practice since coming
off
the
suspension. But he's not yet on the roster.
No, they have an exemption for him.
And they have an open roster
But they
spot
do have an open
it,
roster so. Spot, so they really
Sounds
still
like
only have 53
be.
Guys.
Right.
But
and because it's a walkthrough, you don't know physically
right.
where he is.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're all assuming that he's
well,
okay.
Well, he was out there.
You know, after the whole time.
I don't know if he was out there mentally.
I will give you this note, though, from Chandler Jones, a guy that a lot of people have been interested in talking about. He was there, and he was more active, I'd say, than pretty much any other player out there.
Itching.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. He was kind of jogging around, catching passes. He was dropping back, pretending to be a quarterback and throwing passes. And it was the right ankle that he hurt. I didn't see any problems.
So he was planting his plant
he
foot was
planting,
okay.
But he wasn't like no. But I mean, he wasn't going full speed. He wasn't going 100%. But he was moving about, and he made it. He wasn't trying to hide the fact that he was able to move about and looked pretty normal doing so. At you
course,
know,
of course, according to us, he looked pretty
speed.
Normal.
Well,
two
he
weeks
did.
Ago.
He
did.
Well, he walked off the field normally.
I declared him.
He shaked it off.
I declared him, quote, fine.
Yeah, I do recall that.
I thought early Friday next week, okay with you?
What?
Together early Friday next week, okay with you?
Early Friday next week. It sounds acceptable at this point. We're going to do this on the air?
I was going to say, what are we doing here?
Apparently, we're setting up our schedule on the air. Talk more about practice while we do that, Eric.
Yeah, okay. Well, there
I just wrote sure.
Another interesting little note, they went in the bubble today for the walkthrough.
My calendar's blank. I think I can do it.
Instead of being outside, where they're going to be on Monday night, and it's going to be cold in the dark, but they decided to go in a very, very tropical Dana-Farber Fieldhouse today for the walkthrough, maybe because it's more of a mental rep day.
Right.
They want to make sure they can hear everything.
You're not going to do a walkthrough outside on Monday night. You're going to do a real game. You're going to be running. You're going to be fully padded and clothed.
Sure. And it was very, very warm in the bubble. Very toasty, I would even go so far as to say. So that's pretty much it for practice.
Any black jerseys? Oh, wait.
No, there were no jerseys. Dante Stallworth made his return appearance.
How do you look? Good?
I just walked in. Didn't really do anything.
You walk?
Literally walked in and was walking.
His hair long?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. So we got nothing else beyond that I could ask him.
No, not really.
Yeah. That's about all I got from practice. That's the Eric Scalavino practice report brought to you by Scalavino.com. Your purveyors of fine art everywhere.
And waffle undershirts.
And Structure waffle undershirts.
Not Structure. No, it's J. Crew, I believe.
Oh, okay. So you bought some in the last decade. I haven't. Anything else you'd like to add, Eric, before I get into the emails here as we prepare for the greatest game ever played this season by the Patriots?
Well, it's a good game. It's going to be a good game. What did you think of Tom Brady today? I thought he was in a little bit maybe better spirits.
Than I thought he was pretty joking, jocular, the you know, cutting it off himself at my question.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be the last one. Where is Stacey?
I went and told Stacey afterwards that Brady asked for his resignation.
Well, yeah, I saw a lot of people actually tweeted about it, and like that Tom was joking that he'd been talking for a long time. And where was the PR director?
He was.
Oh yeah, it was a pretty long one.
He started, usually he just ends them really quickly.
He started late and he went a little longer than usual, I think, too.
You know what I kept looking at, and I don't know if we've ever really discussed that. He's got really big hands. I mean, that's clear, and no joking aside here, obviously. This is
no, you've exhausted all of those.
No, but he has
at this point,
big
it's like cliche.
Hands.
Well, he's 6'4".
And I don't think that's a mistake. But I would argue that his hands are bigger than Rob Gronkowski's.
And he's 6'6". I don't know about that.
I think he's got long fingers. And I mean, I can see why he has such ball security. Paul always says, how does he not lose the
ball? I think it's amazing.
Well, because his hand goes all the way around the ball.
Well, I also think it's something that he's really developed, because he used to fumble a lot early in his career. He fumbled in 2001. He fumbled a lot. Go back and remember some of the
on sacks, you mean, like strip sack fumbles.
Oh yeah, I'm not just talking about just being loose with the football. I mean,
maybe his hands grew since
some
then.
Of the
he
hits.
Was still pretty young then.
Well, I think he might
still been growing.
I think he might hold the ball in a different way, or you know, just more conscious of it. But or you know, might just be you know circumstantial. It might just be kind of fortunate. But
I don't
he
think
is
he really
extremely
have a
he's extremely good at.
I'm going with the big hands,
holding
unlike
on to
Steve
the football
McNair, on the little hands
on some plays that would seem that he didn't know the hit was coming.
Right, I'm going with the big hands. I just he kept taking it out of his hoodie and kept like to emphasize points. And
right.
I said, that's a big hand he keeps taking it out of there. Paul, I didn't update you on the fact that he says it's very easy to balance the home life and the professional life right now because
baby question.
He doesn't have to do a lot at home.
He doesn't do much work at home.
So basically, he's just going with the my work here is done. You just tell me when it's out.
Right.
You know, he didn't say that.
Pass out the cigars.
Okay.
But, you know, because that was sort of brought up because we're right on that the cusp of, you know,
I don't
want to get
into
any Mike Florio talk of, you know, should Brady miss the game if his wife's having a baby? You know, we don't want to get into Idiot Central or I guess that's called NBC Sports, but, you know, same, Idiot Central, whatever.
Who is this guy?
but that is obviously on everybody's mind because, you know, Monday night, if that, you know, 7:45, 8 o'clock, he gets a phone call, does he? Does he beat feet and get back to well, I guess his house. She's a bathtub birther, right?
Last time, right? So
worked out that
my
time.
My guess
might
is it's going to happen before the game.
Really? Eric now predicting births.
Well, we might as well, right?
How early before the game?
Like this weekend.
Should we start a pool?
This weekend.
Should start a warm bath by the sounds
pool,
of it.
Why, yep. Right.
You got nothing, Paul?
No.
Don't have any birthing jokes?
No.
Not in your repertoire?
No, I don't. I do see Kevin sent you another little note there. It's another amazing situation going on in Baltimore.
Harbaugh says Suggs can play through injury and Ray Lewis will practice on Wednesday.
So basically they're just saying, you're not hurt. You can just play. I'm sure that's natural.
So interestingly, the team gets fined for manipulating the injury report, but they're... miraculous use of medicine to bring back star players through season-ending injuries is, you know, Jake Long misses the rest of the year, and if he were in Baltimore, he'd be out there this week.
And talk in Miami already, the way we discussed during the game. See, people aren't privy to our commentary during the games.
Which is unfortunate.
It is.
May have been the last snap that he takes as a Miami Dolphin. He's going to be a free agent, and they're not entirely sold.
They shouldn't be. He's a good tackle, not a great one. So if he wants... a good contract, not a great one, then okay, I'll re-sign him, because I think he's a good, solid
would
player.
Would you bring him here?
What's the contract? No.
You didn't let me answer the contract question.
I'd make him my right tackle.
I was just going to
ask I have more upside on Solder.
What if you lose...
I'd make him my right tackle.
If you lose Vollmer, Vollmer's going to be a free agent. He's having a good year. He might price himself out.
Do you think he would play right tackle, though? Do you think
tell him to?
No.
It's not a democracy. It's a dictatorship.
You sign this deal, you go, you play where I tell you to play.
Well, but my point is, would he sign with someone who wouldn't make him
probably not.
A
left probably
tackle.
Have to overpay to get him to play that.
It's a good point.
No, he fancies himself an all-pro left tackle. I don't fancy him that, so I wouldn't pay him that, so no. Wouldn't be a good fit with me. Because I think Solder has a better upside, actually. I think he's a more athletic presence. I think Long
I like
is a bigger,
too.
More powerful guy.
More sold on Solder. Unlike during the pre-draft process.
Solder is growing on me.
Solder's played very well.
He, and you know.
Soldier's played very, very well.
I've been consistent. I've always thought Jake Long was a right tackle. He's been an all-pro left tackle. He's been a Pro Bowl left tackle.
That's one
everybody loves him.
That's one we actually had right. We were making fun of ourselves for our J.J. Watt pre-draft analysis. That's one you were on that very early, Andy, saying that you thought that Jake Long looked to you like a right tackle. He was a bigger, more road-grading type, and you didn't really see the footwork and the athleticism maybe that you see out of an elite left tackle to be taken number one overall.
Sure.
Now, this is one of my rants that I always go on. I think when you take an offensive lineman that early, a guy has to be so bad to bust out, like Mike Williams from Buffalo. Look,
yeah,
at
he was bad.
He's the number one overall pick, and I think that's the reason why he's gotten some of the accolades that he's received.
Could be.
I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's an all-pro.
But people know his name because he was a high pick, so they say, oh, yeah,
he's good. He started right away. He's pretty good. You know, I look at guys like Joe Thomas and Joe Staley. I think they've been much better than him.
Staley's a much better pass catcher. you know, on that same line of thinking, we need to talk about this as it relates to a Patriots player, because I believe a certain Patriots player who wears a certain jersey, number 51, was in a similar boat. He was a top 10 pick. You know, good, solid player, started right away for a Belichick defense, became a captain and tackling leader, and became a Pro Bowl and All-Pro linebacker. I don't believe he was that. I now believe he is that. I think he is having, and I'm speaking of Gerard Mayo if you didn't figure it out by now, but I think he is having by far his best season, making game-changing type plays, not just tackles, while maintaining his tackle numbers.
Yep.
He may be healthy for the first time. I don't know. He's battled those injuries, those knee injuries where he misses some time and he comes back, and is he or is he not healthy? He's putting up Ray Lewis-type numbers, if you look at it, with 3 sacks, an interception, 4 forced fumbles, fumble recovery, pass defense, all those plays.
I think they're giving him the chance to do those things more than they have in past years.
Well, certainly, he's in position to make more plays as the weak side linebacker, but he was there last year, and he didn't make as many plays. Now, he may have been hurt, so I don't know where that is, but, you know, he is certainly, you know, I did it on Take Tuesday on the website yesterday. You know, the 2 plays in a 3-game play stretch there, you know, he had the sack, but 2 plays before that, they run a screen pass, and if he doesn't make the tackle, I think there's a chance Charles Clay is in the end zone with a touchdown.
And I wonder, because he talked a little bit about it after game, that blitz play that forced the field goal late at the end, he called it a delayed blitz. So it was kind of like a read very quickly what the play is as it unfolds and then react to it.
Did a little hop step.
Yeah, thing. A little bit like that. And I wonder if, even though he played that spot last year, whether or not they were giving him that rein
to do
those things.
Because he certainly said it's something he's practiced a lot and run very little in games.
Yeah.
It's rare, I think is the word he said was appropriate. So, but I just think he deserves his just due. He's leading the fan voting as a Pro Bowl linebacker in the American Football Conference, and he's deserving it, in my opinion. Now, he is a very, very good, productive, and it's funny, some of the other guys that were in his class have now sort of fallen by the wayside. D'Amico Ryans got traded, and I know people say he's played pretty well, but that's a bad defense, you know, so he kind of gets lost in the shuffle there. And who's the guy in who's always hurt in Carolina?
John Beeson.
Some of the names that were kind of seen in that second tier class, because it's always been Willis, Ray Lewis.
Yep.
You know, Willis came in and immediately became a Ray Lewis type linebacker. He's a guy. I think Mayo is now elevating himself into, you know, as Lewis kind of goes off into the sunset at some point. You know, maybe it's Willis, and then you think Gerard Mayo might be the second best inside linebacker type in football based on, you know, he plays outside now, although not on the end of the line, as Bill would say, like Rob Ninkovich, who's, you know, defensive end or outside linebacker. Okay, we're going to get to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. Phil from Nova Scotia chimes in, and it's about Fred's star power, cross promotion, and unicorns, according to the subject line.
Okay.
This just in from the North Korean news agency. North Korea discovers ancient unicorn lair. Also, Eric is not sensitive. Fred is not a QVC sucker. Paul's prostate is fine. Andy isn't cynical. Kevin isn't a movie spoiler. And Chris, with a TIAN, has never screwed Andy's mom.
Okay.
See what he did there?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Fred, not sure if you were serious about bringing in more star power to the show. Obviously, he's referencing the call to get some signed photographs from
Well, he wants all of the stars that listen to the show.
Right.
Ben Affleck?
Yeah,
yes.
Ben Affleck.
He says, but here may be a good way to do it. Comedians are always looking for ways to promote their shows. Why not get some to call in and talk a little Patriots? They get access to fans around the world, and they can throw PFW a mention on Twitter. Maybe this cross-promotion will help boost PFW sales, especially online. I would love to hear Bill Burr on the show. He's from Boston, and he always talks Patriots on his podcast. Maybe the listeners can Twitter bomb him to ask him to call in.
Not a bad idea.
Who the F is Bill Burr?
I don't know.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of Billy Burr.
He could
never
use the promotion, it seems.
Billy
like.
Burr? Never heard of Billy Burr.
Sounds like he could use the promotion of coming on the show. I no idea who he is. But it's a good idea. We'll pass it along to the...
Bill Burr.
The fat man. Kevin, after I activate this call from Brazil, I'm going to need somebody to log me in over here. We are going to go to the phone calls now, as I said. Lines are stacking
up. Banks.
508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. And joining us on that line right now, all the way from Brazil, the home of Gisele, is Lucas.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Wow, that's really
Lucas.
Not what
yeah,
I expected.
I sound like you're from Southie.
You sound pretty, pretty English-speaking.
Yeah, I'm actually Brazilian, but I was American schooled, so kind of English and Portuguese.
English is your second language?
Well, I'd say it's my first language, and Portuguese is first language B, I guess. I mean, I speak, they're the same level. So.
Wow, you speak much better than Fred does, and he's only got one that he's focused on all his life.
Well, so anyway, guys, here's the thing. We are nearing the end of the season, and the usual MVP talk is starting to pick up, and
yep.
just like last year. When some idiots were arguing that Peyton Manning was the MVP because the Colts sucked so bad without him. Some other idiots are now saying that Andrew Luck should be named MVP. And are you kidding me? This is a 76.1 passer rating quarterback.
I've heard RG3 for MVP, too.
Exactly. Right.
I think you could argue. I think you could make a stronger argument for RG3 if he wins out, if they go to the postseason, because he has played well. His numbers are comparable to what it
exactly.
takes to win an MVP.
Was he at 4 interceptions?
Something like that. He's got a 105 passer rating. He's in like the top 4 or 5 in passer rating in the league. He obviously runs the football too, and he's leading a team that the coach like a month ago said we're preparing for next year. So I give him a lot of credit, but I still think. It's one of these things, we always talk so much about the MVP and, you know, should this guy get some love and this guy, and it really comes down to like a couple guys. It comes down to Manning and Brady
right.
this year.
To me, that's all it comes down to.
Well, I think so too, and as usual, I read this crap in an article on NFL.com, and it seems that website is half crap, half okay nowadays, and I remember the good old days when only Adam Rank would write stuff so ridiculous, but this article, though, is written by Adam Schein, who claims to be one of 50 MVP voters.
I believe he is. He's that guy with the big voice from Sirius. I'm Adam Schein.
Right, and I was thinking maybe he's 2 years ago when Tom Brady was, he had like 49 votes and one against him. Was Adam Schein maybe that one guy who actually voted against Tom Brady? I mean, this is, his reasoning is so crazy. And I think it goes back to the whole MVP thing. I think it should be something like the Heisman. It should be just the best player and not that most valuable crap that people are talking about all the time. Because then you make the argument that Peyton Manning should be named MVP last year because he didn't even play. He was the most valuable, obviously, because Colts only won one game.
Yeah, Lucas, I understand what you're saying about that Peyton Manning thing, but that was kind of more he didn't get any votes.
Oh, I know he did.
So it's not like that anybody really gave that any serious consideration. I mean, that was just kind of like a funny, sarcastic thing to bring up.
Right, but they're only bringing it up because the MVP stands for most valuable player. When
right.
I think it should be just the best player. Period. Just like the Heisman in colleges, you know. I think it would just clear it up.
Well, I do think it. There is some winning aspect to it. I do think it's the best player on a good team. It might not be the best team. It might not be the guy most important to the best team. But I generally think winning plays a part in it.
Yeah, and I also look at a guy who has a big part in winning. You know, like, and that's why I think that the two rookie quarterbacks are not just dismissed. Now, it's going to come down to Manning and Brady to me, and it's going to end up being Brady, I think.
What if J.J. Watt dominates
why
Brady?
Why do you think that?
Because I think his numbers are going to be so much better than Manning's at the end, and he's going to end up with a higher seed. Now, if the Patriots stumble down the stretch, which would be unexpected to me, but if they were to lose to both Houston and San Francisco, and he has two shoddy performances, I think it can change. But right now, I think Brady's been a little better than Manning, and I think his team is a little bit ahead of Manning's. And I think that's going to, like Andy said,
I think it's their
performance on a winning team. But I don't easily dismiss what Luck and Griffin have done to their teams. They've played very well, and I know that Luck's numbers aren't good, but all you have to do is his numbers weren't good Sunday, but he won the game for that team with an unbelievable last 3 minutes of that game. His numbers were terrible in the game. He wasn't full. I think he had 4 touchdowns and 3 interceptions in the game.
So he's Tim Tebow.
But I don't worry about the numbers.
He just
I think those two guys have been remarkable for their teams, RG3 and Luck, to me. And
see, Paul, I agree.
One guy has great numbers, one guy doesn't.
I agree with your rationale for Brady. I just get the sense that the NFL, or when I say that, I mean the voters who decide these things, have more of a preference for
Peyton
Manning.
Is how we say it sometimes on this show.
And I think if it were between Brady and Manning, and it were close enough, I think they would give it to Manning just because I think he's
well. There's the
more
injury
well-liked.
Factor. Well, there's also to me the comeback injury factor, new place, all that is going to on some level infiltrate the minds of some voters.
Yeah, and if it's close, then I might agree with Eric. I might side the other way. I don't think it will be.
Could be. I'm not ready to close the door on J.J. Watt. Like I said, I think if he comes out and has some great night on Monday night against Brady, another MVP, and all of a sudden you say he had 2 sacks, 3 batted balls, and he single-handedly helped shut down Brady, I think he's deserving of some credit. And I know it's hard as a defensive player to get MVP, but to me, some of the numbers he's putting, like
silly.
To me, if you tackle like a middle linebacker, pass rush like a pass rusher, and bat down balls like a defensive back, that sounds like you're pretty valuable. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the rules and everything, but that sounds pretty valuable.
So what do you think, Lucas?
Well, I just think that if he comes close, like between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, it's obviously the voters are going to think the Broncos only won 8 games last year, and now they could go 13-3. So obviously Peyton Manning is more valuable because of his impact from year to year. And I think that's just to clear it up. It should be just called like the Heisman for the NFL or something, just the best.
Okay, so if you did it like the Heisman of the NFL and that happens, then who do you think?
Well, I think Tom Brady takes that award.
Okay.
And obviously, Andrew
Why don't
Luck
we just call it the Brady?
Consideration.
Well, obviously what?
And obviously, if you call it the best player, period, then Andrew Luck isn't even getting consideration. And that's my point, you know. It's the whole most valuable thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the most valuable part because I don't really care about fantasy football, and I like, you know, guys that have something to do with winning. So I like the part that it's sort of an undefinable.
I do too.
Thing that
because otherwise
that
just
causes
say
some thought.
Passer rating. Oh,
yeah.
You know, Aaron Rodgers has the highest passer rating.
Exactly.
He should be the MVP again. You know, so I do think the value should play some sort
and
of a role.
And I think you should
there.
Force people that are voting
to think.
Yeah.
Trouble is they think too much. I think that's where they go.
They don't always get it right.
They overthink. They start to go, I should do this and this and that. And then all of a sudden you get split votes or make a decision. Don't overthink.
They don't always get it right. These guys don't.
They shouldn't allow the split votes.
They miss
either.
It up. Yeah. Oh, God, that drives me insane. Peter King.
There are two sides to that story, though. I mean, in 2008, we lost Tom Brady. The team went 11-5. So is Tom Brady less valuable than Peyton Manning?
Yeah, I'm just talking about 2012. Yeah. I don't really care what happened in 2008.
Well, I know.
I don't have any idea.
With you.
No, I just
go screw himself in Portuguese.
No. Is this not a good conversation? Why do you got to butt in? Lucas is bringing up some good points. Go play at the
kiddie
table.
Lucas.
Go play at the kiddie table.
On everything?
Go play at the kiddie table.
You're telling him to shh.
He's telling Lucas how we should pronounce his name. He's working on your side of the street over there. Yeah, I like the idea that there's some thought that goes in, but like you had made the hypothetical that you brought up, Lucas, that I was sort of interested in was if Manning and Brady are close, why Brady?
Right.
That's my question. You know, I asked you and you said I would go with Brady, but you said that it was close. Like right
his
now
defense
to me
sucks.
Right now to me Brady is better than Manning. His play has been better than Manning's,
sure.
In my opinion.
That could change.
That could change. But, you know, I don't really think it's that close. I think Brady's been markedly better than Manning.
I would agree with that. But I think Brady's defense is markedly worse than the Broncos. I think Brady has been working with the old Peyton Manning albatross.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a good reason for it.
All right, Lucas, thanks for the phone call. Enjoy life down in Brazil. Wonder if he lives near Rio de Janeiro with the big, whatever that is.
The Christ the Redeemer statue?
Yeah, that thing. We're going to go to one more phone call before we take our first break and send Kevin up to get us lunch at some point. We are going to go to our favorite drug dealing expert down in the Texas area.
In the Alvin. Valley.
Down in the valley. One night in the valley with Alvin. How are you?
First of all, I want to set the record straight. I live in Edinburgh, the Rio Grande Valley. That's what last time you mentioned to Fred. That's why.
Oh, that big river.
Yeah, no, not the big river. The Rio Grande Valley.
That's a big river.
Rio Grande.
Rio Grande.
Oh, never mind. I thought
for sure you were going to clear up. I want to set the record straight. I don't deal drugs.
No, we
already
know
that. You didn't clear that record up at all.
I thought it was going to be something like, I've never taken drugs. I've never seen...
All right, we're going to talk Patriots, apparently. He has nothing to clear up in that area.
Okay, I got a question. What's the big deal about that record that Drew Brees has? Like, do you think Brady's going to break it, or, like, is that bothering him?
I don't think it bothers Brady one bit. I don't think he'll spend an ounce of time thinking about it. He certainly could very well break it. He throws touchdown passes most games.
I think Brady will break it. It's, quite frankly, it's a record that I had absolutely never, ever heard of. Until about 5 weeks ago.
Which one are we talking about?
The United to Brees to now Brady.
Record for consecutive games with a touchdown pass.
Oh.
It's not a record that I think anybody knows about, but all this, it will become a big deal around here quite soon.
So, I was hearing this on the radio yesterday. It's like, why do you say Denver is going to beat the Ravens? Don't you think the Ravens could lose any four games?
I think the Ravens could lose to any of the four teams that they play down the
stretch.
Because
they're all desperate. They got the Giants, they're desperate. They got the Redskins, they're desperate. They got...
they're good.
I was going to say, they're also
they play against
good
teams. That's why I think the Redskins are the only team that's only at 500. Are they 6-6, I think? The rest of them are, you know, Denver is 9-3. The Giants are, I think, 7-5. I mean, they're playing good teams. And Cincinnati is... 6-6, I believe, too. So they don't have any cupcakes. They're all tough teams.
What do you think about Denver? Like, which will make you, like, you know, lose to? Besides, I don't know, the next four games. Because we're right now tied up with Denver. That's why.
Right, we're tied with Denver and Baltimore right now. That's why we win.
Yeah, but like, who is Denver's hardest team to beat? I mean, I don't think they're gonna lose to Oakland. I hope they do.
Oh, their remaining games, you're saying? Baltimore. They play at Baltimore.
That Baltimore game is a big one for the Patriots, for seeding, for the AFC, for both those teams. There's a lot involved with that.
And, like, last question. You know, no, actually, this one, if we beat the Texans could stumble with the Colts in one game. Don't you think?
I don't think the Texans will lose to the Colts, but, you know. Any team can win in this.
Anything
I'm not
can
surprised
happen.
This year. I don't think the separation between good and not good is as much as it's been in the past. But I would be surprised if I see the Texans lose to the Colts. But, you know, they could have lost to the Jaguars. They could have lost to the Lions.
Yeah, and anything can happen. And absolutely, if, for example, if the Patriots were to beat Houston, and now all of a sudden, you know, you got a win at Indianapolis to secure that number one seed, there's a little pressure there, you know, who knows, and Indy's probably still going to be playing for a playoff spot.
What about
so.
The opposite, you know, do they play Colts next week, right, after they leave here, so you have a short week and you could be coming off a very emotional victory and you might look past the Colts
it wouldn't matter.
No, I know, but for the Patriots. I just, well, if they lose two, it could.
No, but they'd still be tied, and then they would have the tiebreaker. So that's why I'm saying that the win, they would have to win.
They couldn't tie with anyone else? We couldn't get down to the same three-way ties and all that?
I don't put anything
in stone now. I don't have enough faith in any of these teams to say you're going to lose the table or run the table.
Possibly, but I think, you know, asking them to lose two of their last three, I think, is sort of unrealistic.
Yeah.
Hey,
and then even then, that might not be enough, depending on your point about
I think
Denver.
Any of these teams could lose two of their last three, personally.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I got advice for the 14-year-old kid that lives right here in Texas that he shouldn't, like, the part of, like, that he should not even, like, stay quiet. He should start talking some smack to all those Texans that, you know, the fans here in Texas.
Oh, yeah, don't stay quiet. The kid who roots for the Patriots but his whole family likes the Texans?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell him to stick it. What do you ever won, you creeps? You've been building for 5 years, and you're always losing.
How many MVPs have they got?
Yeah, no kidding. You tell them. You got more first overall picks than MVPs, you losers.
And then one thing, just to let them know, you should listen to PFW. With more listen to PFW, you talk more smack.
That's right. You're damn
smart. That's where you learn how to talk smack.
Well done, Alvin. Thanks for the phone call, and go do a hit. And we'll talk to you next week.
He didn't deny it.
He doesn't deny it. We gave him every opportunity, and he chose not to.
He just wanted to clarify. He's from the Rio Grande Valley.
I don't see Denver, by the way, losing two, because I think they only have one real difficult game. And I don't think the Texans will lose two, because after the Patriots, they have no difficult games.
Yeah, see, I think they could lose easily one to the Colts, one to the Patriots, two to the Colts. I mean,
oh, the Patriots. I said the last three the Patriots.
To me, a team that could have lost consecutive weeks to the Jags and to the Lions can lose.
Well, I think the Lions are a lot better team than those teams that they're playing, even though they have a terrible record. And that's
what about the Jags?
The Jags are terrible. Jags are the worst team in football. I think the Jags are
the
worst
Lions
team
just lost to the Colts. All I'm saying is this year, none of these teams will surprise me with anything they do from here on out. Win, lose, or tie.
I agree with you, but I just think asking them to lose two of the last three, you're counting the Patriots as a loss. If they lose to the Patriots, all bets are off. They could absolutely lose another game, and then the Patriots get the number one seed.
Yeah, I think they could beat the Patriots and then immaturely lose a couple. Faith in anybody in this run right now. Falcons, nothing. Giants, nothing.
I don't have any faith.
I mean, I couldn't list a single team if you said
none.
You need to pick a team that you say is going to get hot now. They're going to win their games. They're going to go to the postseason. Do I have to?
This part, I'm with you. You could say based on historical precedent, you could say the Giants.
Yeah, but I wouldn't feel good about it.
No.
They don't do it every year.
No, and I wouldn't feel good about it at all. Now, I think, and I've said this
a couple of times. What if they have to play the freaking Reds? They can both make the playoffs, right?
The Redskins and the Giants? Yeah.
What if they have to play them again? They clearly struggle with the Redskins.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nice job.
I've said this before. I think the Giants, when the Giants play well, can beat anyone. And I don't think everybody can say that. But the Giants don't play well consistently.
That's the same with all. Like, I think Houston, if they play well, can beat anyone. I think they have the talent on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I think if the Giants played well against Houston, Giants win. I think the Giants are better than Houston. That's all I'm saying. They just don't do it consistently. And no one does it consistently, and this is the part that I'm lockstep with you on. Identifying that team that goes on the run at this point, how do you do it? How do you just say, pencil in all the wins?
I do it like Fred does it. I'll tell you in February.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just say pencil it all in.
Analysis right there. Phone ringing off the hook. Whoever's calling, I apologize. Kevin stepped away from the phone bank for a minute.
Lunch.
Feel free to call back. While you do that, we're going to go to Brent in Illinois. Hello. It's ringing again. Hello there, guys. A question has been bugging me for the last couple games. What has happened to Patrick Chung? Is he really worse than Gregory and Wilson? It seemed like Wilson was playing in front of him this past week. He was, but it was a difference of like five plays or something. Wilson didn't play that much either.
Yeah, Wilson didn't see any.
Might this really have something to do with business, as he tweeted? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And, Fred, we are not talking Eugene here. We're talking Patrick. Patrick Chung. Luckily, Fred's not here today to get that confused. I think it's just about coverage and the ability that Chung doesn't necessarily have. And, you know, Wilson may not have it either, but as a guy who started at both safety and corner in college, his idea is he can come in and cover.
And
clearly
they think Gregory is better. Like, you know, the question was, is he really worse than Gregory? Well, they think Gregory is better.
And they're different. I mean, they signed Gregory to be their starting free safety.
Right.
That's what they, you know, this was pre-McCourty, you know, unless the Globe, because the Globe thinks it was in the midst of McCourty moving to safety last March.
He can't even keep track of all his vendettas.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I think there's the differentiation. Now, maybe they've also gone to the idea, you know, this day and age, you really just need two free safeties. You don't need any guy that can come up and bang around at the line of scrimmage and tackle and all that. I don't know. Or maybe they thought Wilson was going to be that guy because he's big. That's the one thing that always amazes me. He's a pretty big guy, Wilson.
Good
for
size.
A corner slash cover safety type.
Good size.
Maybe they think he can develop into that cover guy who's also a little bit bigger, can come up, hit a little bit, but you know, strength is still in coverage and in the back end. But I just think Chung he's down the depth chart. You know, they've kind of seen his weaknesses, and they don't match up with this defense right now and what they need. And until injuries happen or he does something remarkable to win himself back in the rotation, I think he's petering out his time here in New England.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that.
Eric, very active over there on his phone.
Well, I didn't get to tweet out any of my practice
stuff. Well, he can tweet.
I'm trying
you
to.
You and I can't.
True. That's true.
I'm trying to get that updated for the folks out there.
You know, these are the emails that only get read when Fred's not here, because I think he refuses to read John's limericks.
Oh, yeah.
But you and
I read them last week.
I love them. I read them all the time.
You told me to read them last week.
The Ryan family tree is the first one. I'm glad the Jets' woes did the trick to mute Rex's old blowhard shtick.
That
seems a cactus should be the Ryan family tree because everyone on it's a prick. I like that one. See, that's a winner. And Fred would have liked that one because, you know,
because it was
Rex
Ryan.
Eric tells us he's really all that with the ladies, a very smooth cat. I don't think Eric's ever told us that. A man on a mission. He got propositioned. Too bad it came from Brooklyn Matt. That's a good one, too, actually.
That might be one of his best ones about me.
That's a good one. I don't think Eric ever said he was a quote-unquote smooth cat.
No.
He carries himself with that air, but he's never actually said it. And I think he's admitted, you know, having some swings and misses in that area.
So what do you think of Sexy Rexy going with Sanchez for the Jaguars?
I think it's fine. I mean,
I do, too. I think it's much ado.
The other guy's a backup quarterback.
And I think you just do the same thing. If he goes out there and he melts down again, you do the same thing you did last week.
Yeah.
Now our friend Jerry Pilsen, who called in the other day. Remember the guy from California Fred called Governor Jerry or whatever?
Yeah, Jerry Brown.
Speaking of which, have you seen Governor the commercial Moonbeam for that new terrible movie with Schwarzenegger?
No.
He's a sheriff and like Johnny Knoxville's one of his deputies. It looks horrific. Now, I'll probably watch it because it's an action movie and I like action movies with a little bit of comedy. But it looks terrible. Back to the email. Fred, or approximate stand-in. I think that's me. I'd be the approximate stand-in today. I called in yesterday. Jerry from California. Yeah, we just said that. But did not get to my most important comment about a critical Patriots problem that must be corrected immediately.
I'm going to go with kicking.
Many of the Patriots players have beards.
No.
With Rob Ninkovich in the same locker room, this is extremely embarrassing. Nico... Nico is a player.
Yeah.
I think you mean Ninko, but has a real beard. Compared to him, these other guys just have scrubby stuff on their face that looks terrible. Have they no shame? Have they no self-respect? Tell them to shave that fuzz off and regain some dignity after Nico retires. Again, Ninko. Nico is a different person who doesn't have a beard. He's got like slick hair and a cleanly shaven face.
And a great walk.
Yeah.
That's walk. Or moves on, they can try
it's
again.
Always on his
it's unbelievable.
Mind.
I will volunteer to help, even though I like Brady, I will look him in the eye and tell him his attempts at a beard looks like crap. I will, however, volunteer Andy to look Gerard Mayo in the eye and tell him his beard looks like crap. I don't think Gerard's looks like crap, does it? It's no Ninko.
You can't really remember.
Ninko's is by far the best beard on the team and one of the best I've ever seen.
You went into great detail.
You're talking about
discussing
thickness,
all of his physical
attributes. You know, uniform color. That's a good looking beard. By the way, you can tell Wilfork that his goatee is okay. It's not really a beard, and even if it was, it's still okay. Yeah, you tell Wilfork anything, punk.
The governor, Jerry Brown. We're going to break, so.
We are going to break because Kevin's back.
Kevin
so whoever
reset.
Was calling off the hook when Kevin wasn't here trying to get through, he's back. He'll answer the phone, and we are going to take a break before we hit hour number two of PFW in progress on an exciting Wednesday afternoon, Texans week.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts.
I need some of Dunkin's delicious packaged coffee.
Sure, how many do you need?
One for everybody on my holiday shopping list.
Wow, so that's why you brought a wheelbarrow.
Give the gift everyone loves to get. Delicious Dunkin' Donuts packaged coffee. Get 2 pounds for just $12.99. Available only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable taxes. Single pound sold at regular price. Offer excludes 8-ounce packages. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But, yes, do, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No.
You got to make it. You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Back to PFW in progress. Second hour, Wednesday. Team preparing to take on the Houston Texans. The 10-1 Houston Texans, top team in the National Football Conference. I mean, the American Football Conference and the National Football League, if you believe the Wilson Hart Power Index on Patriots.com.
Do you guys have any?
I believe that's 11-1. By
11-1.
You guys have any trepidation about this game?
Oh, sure.
A little bit.
You should. I mean, Best team you faced. You've lost to other teams, and you've come close to losing to other teams, and this is the best team you faced. So you can lose.
I worry that they're. The Texans' defense is better equipped to handle New England's offense than New England's defense is to handle Houston's offense.
You could certainly argue that.
And I think that's where the game is going to be won.
You could certainly argue that. I think this game could come down to some big plays and some momentum.
I think both teams have the opportunity to make big plays, and both teams have the opportunity to give them up. And I would include the Texans' defense in that, the pass defense. I think the Patriots can make some hay through the air. So I'm the only thing I'm ruling out, really hoping to rule out, is a bad game. I'm really hoping it lives up to a pretty good slugfest, you know, high scoring, low scoring, mid scoring, whatever it may be, big plays or conservative, a lot of punts, whatever it may be. I'm hoping it lives up to, you know, two of the best teams in the AFC. And I think it will. I have that expectation. I don't think it'll be a stinker either way.
I agree with you in terms of that's what I'm sort of hoping for. I'm kind of ruling out the low scoring part. I think Eric's point about the Houston offense, I think, is sort of along the lines of how I feel. The Patriots generally, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they do a really good job of limiting Arian Foster.
Oh, no.
But at the expense of what? And I think Houston can take advantage of that. And I think they're smart enough to do it. I don't think they'll just sit there and say, well, we're just going to run Arian Foster 25 times because that's what we do. And if they shut us down, then we tip our hats to the other team. I think that they'll sort of move away from that a little bit and get Schaub to start getting Andre Johnson involved and Owen Daniels and start doing some different things. And I think that they have enough. I don't think they're anywhere near as diverse offensively as the Patriots are. Although right now with the situation with the injuries with the Patriots receivers, maybe it is more comparable than I might have thought a few weeks ago.
The man who's apparently the love child of the two receivers Belichick had to consider to bring back, Deion Branch and Dante Stallworth, just hung up on the phone. We had Deontay from Maryland, and he hung up.
He's probably chiming back in a second. But
maybe hit a bad sell.
I do feel this is going to be a good game, and I expect there to be points on the board because I don't see Houston. Houston I respect defensively, but I think this is they have most of their injuries on defense. Like, the Patriots right now are dealing with some offensive line issues, some receiver issues, and obviously Gronkowski being out is enormous. The Texans are dealing with cornerback issues and linebacker issues. Their defense has really been hurt. And I think it is, and Andy's been talking about this a little bit for the past week, a defense that I think you can sort of spread out and pick apart. I wouldn't expect them to get over the top a lot, you know, with big plays. But I would expect Tom Brady, if he's efficient as he normally is,
and if he doesn't see J.J. Watt in his nightmares and he's like,
I would expect them to sort of matriculate the ball down the field, boys, and sustain drives and score that way. But Watt's the big X factor. You know, all it takes is one third down and eight where Watt comes in and disrupts a play and you get off the field. So that will be the big challenge.
All right, we do have Deontay from Maryland back on the phone. Deontay, welcome aboard.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What happened? Where'd you go? You, like,
cell phone hit a bad signal area.
I hear you, bro. Did you hit one again, or what?
Yep. So, guys, about the Houston Texans game, what do you guys see that Houston could do to slow down the Patriots or possibly even win the game?
I think they actually
get after Brady.
Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious one. But
on some plays in reality and on other plays, maybe some schemes, some, you know, blitzes that aren't blitzes. And I got to think some coaches see on tape that not only do we pressure Brady, do we get some success, but when he thinks we're pressuring him, you can get some success.
Because he rushes through.
I think you play off that factor.
Yeah, but, you know, when I look at New England, I see, I'm hearing that Gronk is supposed to return for that game, if not that game. Well, I hear basically they have him returning for more of a blocking purpose, not, you know, much less as a receiving purpose. If he does make a comeback for that game, do you think he'll make an impact?
Yes, I think he'll make an impact. I've heard rumors, rumblings that he could be back this week or could be back for the Niners game next week. I got to tell you, I'd be really stunned.
I would not want him to be on the field before the playoffs.
We've learned that lesson with our star tight end.
Yeah, why
rush him back and he misses more time later?
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, but, you know, when I look at Houston, they really have not played anybody that they really could not get pressure on or beat. And that's the reason why they're winning games. When you look at how they beat Baltimore, I mean, come on, who really can't get, you know, pressure on Joe Flacco? I mean, I know the Patriots, you know, their defense
the Patriots
is still
didn't get any pressure
a work
on
in
Joe
progress,
Flacco.
But, you know, when I, you know, they handle teams, it looks like they know they can beat. But, you know, they got slammed down by Green Bay. And they haven't really played in the elite teams when they ran up against the Lions. That was a game I thought they should have lost, you know, looking all the way across.
You're sounding pretty confident that the Patriots are going to win this game, Deontay.
Oh, yeah, definitely they will, and it won't be by much. With you know, depending on the you know stature of the offense and the line being banged up, but you know, I think they can win this game. It's going to be fairly close. I think it'll be a good game, but it looks to me like I think the Patriots still have a little bit of issues in the secondary. They only seem to play against teams that don't have you know a good enough offense to match them. Like in Miami, they only have what two receivers? One guy drops more passes than he hauls in each year.
They also didn't have a quarterback who could take advantage of the receivers when they were open. He missed his chances. Tannehill did so.
Oh yeah, you know. So it's just like, do you guys think that'll pose a problem for them once the postseason hits? Or do you guys think they'll eventually gel together?
No, I think that poses a problem when you're going to start playing quarterbacks regularly named Schaub, Manning, Roethlisberger.
Yeah, but there are some things as far as the Texans, the Patriot defense can take advantage of. They are a little bit better this year against the run. If they slow down, you know, Arian Foster, they could take away, you know, Andre Johnson and, you know, go ahead and try to limit Owen Daniels. You know, he lost a couple passes, too. You know, he's been known to drop passes. So I think if they can take advantage of that and just get Houston off the field on third down, I think they can make it a decent game.
I agree. If they get off the field on third down, they're going to win this football game. And I think they're going to stop Foster. I mean, a bigger back like that who is sort of a workhorse back, most of the time they have success with those guys. I think they'll have success again, but you got to see what they're going to do now against the pass. And Owen Daniels and Andre Johnson, I mean, there's some issues there.
Yeah, I could see them shutting down any element of the stuff that you just talked about. I can't see them shutting down all of it. The Patriots really haven't been able to do that in a long time. So if they did shut down Arian Foster, I wouldn't expect them to also shut down Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels.
Yeah, you can only take away two. I mean, nobody's defense can really do both.
Right. Just out of curiosity, Deontay, you sort of dismissed all of the Texans' wins. Hang your hat on for the Patriots? What was the best win that they think they had?
This season?
Yeah.
Sweeping the Jets.
The Jets, the 5-7 Jets.
Yeah, sweeping them, sweeping the Bills. Looks like they're getting ready to
win. Those are all bad teams, just like the teams that that Houston beat.
Yeah, but the Patriots are consistent. And as we all know, the Houston Texans have been trying for 5 years. You know, I would have thought, with all the first-round picks.
When you let this off, Andy, what was Houston's record?
10-1, but 11-1.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they lost to one elite team. They lost to the Packers. Yeah,
the Patriots lost to two crap-ass teams.
And the Patriots lost to some bad teams and one good team.
Yeah, but normally we start out kind of slow. So
yeah, we never lose late in the year. I'm with you, bro.
Yeah,
I'm not dismissing the Patriots' chances in this game. I'm just saying to dismiss Houston
late in the year.
To dismiss Houston because they
have in the year.
Not beaten anybody. Houston won at Denver,
and
the Patriots' best win to me is Denver.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Home.
But you know that goes. You know, Peyton to me. You know, I'm not going to feed into the hype. You know, with Peyton Manning, he's a great quarterback. You know,
but if we don't feed into the Peyton Manning hype, the Patriots haven't beaten anybody because that's the only one that I can come up with.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, this stuff. But like, you know, like Coach Belichick said himself, regardless of the quality of the team, all teams gotta beat them. They couldn't beat Arizona when they should have. I still think they gave that game away.
I agree.
They did.
And Houston had those same kinds of situations,
and they won those.
And found
games.
A way to win them.
Yeah, good teams do.
Good defense.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think New England's defense is better than what they say it is. That's nothing.
Sorry, that was me laughing.
They're certainly not better than the Texans' defense.
Yeah. Are you at all concerned? You're a very confident guy, and
my guess is going to be no.
Are you at all concerned with the ease at which some people seem to run by Aqib Talib in his 3 weeks here?
A little bit. I don't think he's been challenged enough, so to speak. But I think if they put him on Andre Johnson this game and let him cover him, then we'll see how good he really is.
Or how bad.
Do you have a fire extinguisher that needs a battery replacement? Because that thing keeps beeping every few minutes. What is that?
All right, Deontay.
Enjoy the game, Deontay.
He is an optimist, a Patriots optimist.
No, and
certainly.
Listen, I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this particular game. I just don't share the opinion that Houston stinks.
No.
I think Houston's pretty good, and I think the Patriots are pretty good. I think it should be a good game.
I think your best hope is that the history of teams playing three road games and losing the third
big spot
comes to play on Monday night, because otherwise I think overall Houston's the better team.
You know what? I have a hard time making an argument against that. But I do think that the mental aspect, Andy and I were talking before you came here, Eric, about this is kind of new territory for mm-hmm. Houston. This mm-hmm. is a big game. And they haven't been in many big games, and their quarterback hasn't been in any because he didn't get to play in the big games that they played in last year. So I do think that that's an element that really strongly works in the Patriots' favor. Doesn't mean that Houston can't win.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know, like I said, I don't have an argument against saying this is a team with a good offense, maybe not a great offense like New England's, but it's got an above-average defense. In other words, I think the gap between the units is smaller on the offense than it is on defense. And again,
yeah,
he's
once
got,
again,
what? He's got a chuckle.
Did anybody watch The New Girl last night? Or New Girl?
I did not watch New Girl last night. I was just sitting at, you got to put the word "the" in front of everything if you sit in that chair.
Yeah, I don't know. Speaking of the, I don't know, the Peter from Melbourne chiming in. He's wants to talk about Edelman on IR. Hey, guys, and Eric, if he's by now, Eric is indeed by. He came by early today.
He did.
I was wondering what do you think the overall impact of placing Edelman on season-ending IR? I'm thinking a broken foot is a six-week or so injury, so I don't quite understand why Edelman had to be placed on IR since he is such a significant piece of the special teams and is our third best wide receiver, second if you think more highly of him than Lloyd. I personally feel that Pats could reserve a roster spot for him without placing him on IR since slots numbers 52/53 are just Jags that you can pick up anyway. It's even worse because right now they actually don't have a 53. they put him on IR, and they chose an open roster spot over him. We can place him on IR any time, so if his injury is just a broken foot, then the IR doesn't make that much sense, as he could theoretically be back to the divisional round of the play. How does this guy know when he's coming back?
He's guesstimating.
There's a lot of
assumption here.
There's a lot of flaws there. They've already used their IR.
No, he wants him to stay active on the active roster.
He didn't want to put him on IR so that
he's
could come back.
He's going
to
be back in mid-January. Just use him as an inactive. Well, how do you know he's going to be back
first
in January?
First of all, I think that's...
Is the injury more serious than reported? Muscle? Tendons?
The report was surgery, was it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the injury is, but that's what the reports that I read was that he was having surgery.
Have a great one. You guys are doing fine without the hosting likeness of Fred Kirsch. That's another praise that we don't need the fat man, that we're running lean without him. I like this one. Props to Andy. This is from Jonathan, extension 238.
Andy, you've done a nice job running the show today.
Thank you. Props to Andy. Last week you gave your theory on why bad teams' QBs throw more interceptions than good teams. I think Drew Brees proved your theory to be right. So props to you, Andy. Jonathan, P.S., I'm driving from Montreal about 6 hours to go to the 49ers game. Do you guys need donuts? Since Matt doesn't get him anymore, probably. What was my theory on QBs?
Not exactly breaking ground, but the bad teams.
He liked
are,
it. Jonathan liked
bad
it.
Teams are behind
heart, you know,
all the time.
Right.
So their quarterbacks are going to pile up interceptions because they're always chasing.
Oh, right.
And the proof of that being accurate is a really good quarterback who was behind the entire game last week in Drew Brees threw 5 picks when he doesn't normally throw 5 picks because. His team's not normally always behind like that.
And the flip side of that is Brady doesn't throw any picks because he's never behind, so he doesn't have four
he's
throws.
He's not chasing, and Peyton Manning is not
and
always
And he only
chasing.
Looks for two receivers, so it's not even like he has to scan the field. Where's Welker? Where's Hernandez? Uh-oh. Right?
And yet he still found a way to throw one. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow, negativity. Where do we want to go next?
Jamie in Houston. I want to know what the pulse is like in Texans.
Okay,
Texans
Jamie.
Land.
Who knows a little something about drugs, steroid, and the Rio Grande River. Jamie, how are you in Houston?
That's the big river.
No, that's not me. That's the other cat out of...
What is that cat again?
So you don't see a lot of steroid use and cocaine use in your area?
No, not where I'm. I'm on the north side of Houston and...
A gated community?
Well,
you
know, in that vicinity, I'm across the highway. I'm on the east side of the Woodlands, which is one of the more
affluent,
upscale areas. And I'll tell you what, old adage about the growing big in Texas is absolutely true. I mean, we've got some monsters in the local high school.
I know.
Program, and I'm sure that I've heard tell of drug use and that stuff being prominent, and I'm sure there's probably. You know, steroids at that level, but, I mean, these kids are just big. I mean, you know, the average height of the guys I'm seeing on Woodlands High team, you know, like 6'2". 6'2", and they're a healthy 6'2", probably, you know, 220 plus.
Everything's bigger in Texas. I learned that one night at Treasures.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. And most of the times it's natural, too.
It wasn't.
Yeah, not that night anyway.
But I still enjoyed it, every bit of it.
But everybody, yeah.
Andy chased me around and cut me off.
People are going crazy. They already think the Super Bowl is a foregone conclusion. They're believing the hype a little bit, and they've got a lot to be excited about.
So does that mean maturity is a problem?
Up, man, everybody thinks we're beating the world.
Maturity a problem for that football team?
Absolutely. I think you guys hit it on the head. They've from the top down, from Kubiak on down, you know, I don't think they've made good decisions and pressure moments in the past, and this is their opportunity to prove everybody wrong and to get it right. And I think that's going to be a challenge. And Paul, I think you mentioned earlier, Schaub has missed the opportunities to play in a big game. So this is really his. So they've got to be tested there, and that's where their vulnerabilities are. You know, are they mentally ready to take the next step to be in the big stage Monday night? You know, a prelude to the playoff outlook. You know, will they answer the bell? That's a big piece. But I think if they do, the secrets to the Texans win will be Andre Johnson. I think will be the biggest factor. He's been on a roll lately. He's been having some huge, monstrous games, and that guy's on a roll. And I think he's having a special season and on a mission. If he puts it on his back and they're able to connect with him, I think he's the guy who gets it done. And that's who they're going to have to absolutely stop if the Patriots want to pull this one off.
So you think it's more important to stop Johnson than to start with Foster and make him one dimensional?
I think that. I think that the line's pretty solid, and I think, you know, everybody who's had a they're just throwing it on New England. You know, they're throwing it up there, and that's been the formula for most people who have had success on us. I mean, you know, it ain't, you know, when guys like, Russell can get, 300 yards on us, there's other people out there who can do it as well. So, test that secondary all day long, because we've shown that we're vulnerable back there.
Sure. And for a guy who had, 461 in consecutive games?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what worries me about Andre Johnson, to Jamie's point, is you can do stuff to take him away, and he's so big and strong that he's Calvin Johnson-like, he can still catch the ball.
Sure.
You know, and that's what worries me all of a
Although
sudden.
His strength will be irrelevant against the Patriots. No one will be within arm's reach.
But some of those plays that are, somewhat tightly covered, but not quite. You know, they made a big deal of the Aqib Talib play in the end zone on T.Y. Hilton. He was kind of – well, Andre Johnson doesn't need to be wide open to catch the ball.
No. Yeah,
so even if your coverage is decent, he's so strong that a lot of times he comes down with the ball anyway.
I wonder if to try to avoid J.J. Watt becoming too much of a factor or just the defense in general getting to Brady, if they don't try to establish Ridley and Vereen more early on and just try to – milk some clock, keep the ball away from Schaub and the offense, and try to run away from
Watt. I think they're going to go the other way. I think they're going to up-tempo and try to score fast.
Like they did against Denver.
I think that they need to do that, and I think that they need to get off to a good start, because I think, all of a sudden Houston finds themselves down 10 points early in the game, and their confidence is really...
Believe it or not, Paul, we always try to get off
to a
good start.
I know.
Hey, one other piece, and you touched on him, J.J. Watt, the SWAT man. He can be another factor that they've really got to prepare for. He's very disruptive. He gets those hands up again, the tipped and the swatted balls, and Brady does not like when people are in his lane.
Nope.
And tip the balls. And we've seen him. We've seen Brady suffer. A good percentage of his career interceptions are probably from tipped balls. And, well, as probably most quarterbacks, but, that can be a factor. So I think that what you all had mentioned, taking advantage of the Texans' aggressiveness, Wade Phillips is naturally an aggressive guy.
Yep.
And, we got to work in the screens. We got to work in Ridley and those draws. And if we can take advantage of their aggressiveness, keep Watt isolated, try not to go for all the the slants inward where Watt likes to have his hands to Welker, put Welker and these guys to the outside routes, that will be the recipe for success.
I agree, Jamie. Thank you for the phone call. Take care in that gated community where you don't have to deal
sounds
with the
like
riffraff.
Jamie is not brimming with confidence.
No, it sounds like his greatest confidence is the overconfidence of the team he sees every day on a close basis.
Which is interesting because I would not think that would be a problem for Houston. I would worry if I were a Houston fan the other way, mm-hmm. that they come in here saying, oh, my God, we can't go there on Monday night and beat the Patriots at Gillette Stadium.
Lack of confidence?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think Jimmy's
Do you think
right.
overconfidence could
well,
be a problem?
Well, I think maturity is an issue for them. And
really?
I think it's always an issue with an ex-player.
A young team?
Well, an
who?
Ex-player coach, too. Any coach who is he gets
he's
his
okay
leather
as
jacket
a coach.
And he swaggers in.
He's okay as a coach
to me.
I got
issues with you.
He's not – I sort of agree with you on that. He's not overly impressive to me.
No.
As a coach. Now, I think he's done a good job.
I think he might be
I sort of think of him
I
a little
bit
like –
Coach of the Year.
I think of him a little bit like John Harbaugh. I think he's done a good, solid job, but I'm not sure he's a great coach. And I'm not sure in your scenario, Andy – you know, emotional decisions are his strength. And we've seen that with John Harbaugh a little bit. At times, he can tend to let his emotions get the best of him. And I wonder if Kubiak is a little like that.
Yeah, I have my doubts about him. But, you know, it's interesting, and I like that we have a few callers from the other side, from the Houston area, keeping us up to date. And by the way, you other lamos who dropped off after, like, 6 minutes, screw you. If you can't wait 6 minutes, then we have no need to talk to you. Your time is not that important. You decided to call. Did you think you were just going to get right on? First time doing talk radio? I can't take you immediately. There was somebody else ahead of you. We took them. Nestor in San Diego and some other guy somewhere. These people. I mean, the arrogance to think that we're just going to jump because their phone call came in. I'm going to read an email.
You do that.
Them. This is from Charles Ames. Paul is right. The horror. I don't think he wants you to be right, Paul.
That's okay.
The game isn't all that important, but seeding is important. Once I get a few beers into it,
what?
I'll change my mind and join Fred's heretics? What's heretics?
Heretics. Somebody who speaks blasphemously about, you know, iconoclastically. All right, did I lose you there?
What the heck is he talking about?
Like a non-believer?
Yeah, somebody who doesn't believe, somebody who doesn't
Somebody heresy.
Non-conformist.
On the K words. Enjoying Mid-Atlantic Talk Radio, he says. The Ravens fans are killing Flacco and Cam for the Pitt loss. At some point, their RB is going to have to assert himself as opposed to just getting 12 carries a game. RG3 is the second coming, and despite 178 yards in his last game and a mighty 20 points on the board, are entitled to win the division and the Super Bowl. He's way better than Luck or Wilson. We are lucky. I don't know.
What?
I don't know what his response is there. I think he's making fun of all Ravens and Redskins fans, and we're lucky that we don't have all these issues that I guess they have. I don't know exactly.
Well, see, I look at it as kind of refreshing that a 9-3 team can sort of look at itself and say, yeah, but. And right now, the Baltimore Ravens, to me, are the epitome of the yeah, but 9-3 team. They have some issues, and Joe Flacco is probably top of the list. Maybe second only to the amount of injuries on defense that they have.
I was stunned that they lost at home to a Charlie Batch-led Pittsburgh team.
Yeah, and if you saw the game, they were probably very fortunate to be in a position to win the game. Because Charlie Batch played, there's the only reason why they had a chance. I went through this rant last week watching them. I like the Ravens a little bit, and I like some of the pieces that they have. I just don't understand why it doesn't all fit together. I think that they should score more than they do. I think they have better personnel, and I think it comes down to Flacco, and I think that the arguments in talk radio land evidently in Baltimore are accurate. Cam Cameron, to me, too often gets away from Ray Rice. He's the best player on the team, and they don't, you know, to have him have, you know, 12 carries in a game that was important. That was a game that they could have, you know, pretty much done away. I don't know if it would have clinched the division, but it pretty much would have done away with the division. They needed that game. And then you can sort of look at it and say, well, how important is seeding here? No one thinks that Ray Rice should get 25-plus carries every game. He's not big enough for that. He's not built for it. But to me, he needs to be more of a factor in your offense when you just don't have many answers. And that offensive line doesn't protect well enough to sit there and do what they wanted to do coming into the season and, you know, de-emphasize Rice and go to a 35 to 45 pass a game kind of offense.
Did I hear right that he had no touches in the fourth quarter? Something.
You heard right.
How does that happen?
I don't know. It's weird, too, because Cam Cameron's always been a running backs guy, you know.
Always.
In San Diego and Miami. His running backs were the focal points of the offense. They'd get 1,000 yards. They'd get 100 catches.
Even if you're not a running backs guy, you have Ray Rice.
Right. I agree. And you have Joe Flacco. If you had to say, I'm going to put the game in Ray Rice's hands or Joe Flacco's hands.
I mean, the week before.
Even Joe Flacco decided the game was better off in Ray Rice's hands by just dumping it off to him.
Exactly. Fourth and 29.
Right.
He went to Ray Rice.
Robert Blair chimes in, change or no is the subject. If the Patriots had won the three games by 4 or 5 points instead of losing, and hence were 12-0, would you feel any different about the prospects against Houston?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I would either.
No, because Houston has, as I said before, I think they have overall the better team.
Because I think the Patriots can and should win this game at home. I mean, they're at home.
I think they should, too.
But I
think if Houston wins, it would be an upset. But I'm not entirely dismissing Eric's point. That's why I asked you. Do you think which team do you think is better? Like if they played in a vacuum with the equal amount of rest on a neutral field, who do you think has better personnel?
Are we right now? Like are we counting injuries or
no,
Gronk
no, no,
on
no,
an
no.
option?
No, personnel. And... Just you know, if they played opening day,
completely healthy, everything
completely healthy. Equal amount of rest on both sides and on a neutral field. I have a hard time arguing with Eric.
Because as I look at it...
I think it's pretty close.
I think they have the... Obviously, they have the better talent at wide receiver.
Well, yeah.
They have a better talent at running back.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying they have the edge. I'm not saying it's you know, a cavernous gap. But they have the edge in both of those categories. Obviously, they have the edge at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I think O-line...
When healthy, they have the edge at O-line. The Patriots do.
Right, when healthy. On defense, I'll take their front seven over this one.
And healthy, their line... You know, and, put Cushing back in. That's a key part of their linebackers.
Exactly.
That's probably
And defensively, defensive backfield, clearly they have two better corners than we have here.
Coaching?
Coaching's an issue. Coaching's an issue. I give that edge, obviously, to Bill. And... Kicking, I'll take Gostkowski over Shane Graham any day. All these people who've been writing asking about Nate Kading can just relax.
Shane Graham
but I mean, like,
is as unreliable. The fact that he was as good as he was here 2 years ago is amazing. Yeah.
I think it's pretty close, the talent. I really do, because I think the Patriots' receiving core is better when Gronk, Hernandez, Welker are all healthy.
There's no question.
I think it's, you know, Foster's the better running back, but you have to say, you know, Ridley's had a good year.
He has had a good year.
You know, I wouldn't have argued it 12 games ago. You know, I would have said you have a total unknown in the backfield, but Ridley's had a good, consistent year. He's not the workhorse that Foster is, and that's what they need on that offense, but he's good. He's had a good year. And, you know, you put Chandler Jones back in there. You know, he's hurt right now. Put Cunningham back in there. I think it's pretty close. I'm really torn on this. I would probably take the Texans by a hair.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a huge gap. I'm just saying I think the Texans have the edge. You know, when we do our little helmet, we do our helmets in the paper, I think the Texans get one or two more helmets.
If you, now I'm really muddying the water, I know this, but if it's the old age thing, if you took Belichick and Brady and put them on the Texans,
oh my God.
I think it would be the best team in football. Like, lights out, bar none. Thanks for playing.
Mm. I mean, I think that if you know my feelings on switching quarterbacks on a lot of different games. If you did that on this game,
but this one,
I think
to
it
me,
would be,
Belichick is as big a part of it as Brady.
I think it would be an all-time blow.
I actually think if you put just Belichick on that team, they'd be far and away the best team in football. I don't really think a lot of Kubiak, and as much as Wade Phillips has been good, I'd like to have Belichick there to rein him in and kind of keep him under wraps too. So,
but yeah, I'm going to be interested to see how he approaches the game Monday night too, because. Wade Phillips.
Oh, Wade.
Because I think that he can get a little bit too aggressive at times, and that's not the way to beat Tom Brady generally. I think you need to get good, solid pressure. I don't think you want to expose yourself too often to Brady. And be interesting to see.
Again,
I know. Absolutely everything.
Because sometimes I stop listening for a minute, like I read an email, and then I hear, you don't want to expose yourself to Brady too often.
Yeah, I just think that he'll pick your part. And if Wade Phillips allows himself to get too caught up in the moment and
exposes himself.
We need to get after Brady at all costs. I think he's going to pay
ESPN
for it.
ESPN cameras will have an eyeful. Wade Phillips exposing himself to Brady. We
no
have
one
a caller
be more
now.
Excited than you, evidently.
Who knows? Sometimes you have to wait to get on the air, and that's our friend Chris with a TIAN. Christian, how's your mother?
Who the hell are you with?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Should have said, hold on, let me ask you how yours is.
I got to tell you, this game scares the hell out of me.
It should.
Yeah, it should. You're right.
Everybody I know is picking the Texans.
Well, I'm not picking
the Nobody Texans. I know is picking the Texans.
Oh, I thought you were picking the Texans.
I'm picking the Texans.
Both guys in this room wearing
red
shirts.
In the paper?
Yeah.
Oh.
I got two guys here that supposedly work for Patriots Football Weekly picking the Texans.
I got button hooked.
I know. I read it. I read it in the latest edition of our
Moy Negativino.
I didn't know you were picking the Texans.
I did.
I thought there was no one picking them, and I thought that we just looked like Homer Central.
No.
Paul wanted
not
to be
all.
The only one who picked the Texans.
Did all the other people on the beat?
He's a bit of a contrarian.
They go with the Patriots, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all homers.
I think they'll win. Obviously, I'm Patriot homer to the end, and they have. You know, I believe they will win, but it'll be a close game. But two things that scare me the most are Schaub and that sort of play-action waggle thing that he does.
Yep. Yeah.
I just have nightmares of Gregory and McCourty biting up and Johnson or Daniels going over the top. And Owen Daniels scares the hell out of me, too, because against our linebacker core.
Can you imagine if we got Tavon Wilson in this game, in that play?
Oh, forget it. That'd be worse than Seattle.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
But now for Daniels, what do you guys think they'll do with him? Do you think, you know, it'll be like a combination type thing? Mayo, he's a big guy, so would somebody like Arrington be on him? Because he does line up on the slot quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good matchup for Arrington.
I don't either.
I think they would. Now, maybe, like you said, it might be a kind of a combo thing where Arrington's passing him off, getting a little bracket with a linebacker help from either Hightower, who is scary in coverage, I'm going to say. I don't love his coverage abilities, but, you know, he may be involved with that. And you may see a Tavon Wilson, a little bit bigger body. You know, you might see sort of the nickel and dime roles kind of switch a little bit, maybe see a little bit more of him.
He scares me like Dustin Keller has often scared me, with that soft middle of the field.
Sure.
I think that's prime territory for Owen Daniels to wreak havoc.
Yep.
Against
yeah, don't forget my buddy James Casey, versatile player. I like him.
He's the kind of player I think that could have a big game because there's only so many things you can take away.
That's right.
And what do you think the number one is they'll take away, the running game or Andre Johnson?
I think the running game.
The running game.
Because they can.
The yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's almost like playing, not only playing to your strength, but like, yeah, we could say we're going to take away Andre Johnson and we're going to have to do X, Y, and Z to do it. I think the running game, it's a pretty good matchup for them, and you start with that and say, okay, we're going to stop the run. We can do it. We know we can do it. We've done it before, and we'll build off of that.
Plus, I feel like that's what Houston wants to do.
Oh,
Houston
no
wants to play it. They want to run the ball and have sustained drives, and at the same time, it keeps the Patriots' offense on the sideline. But if you go out and say, we want to make them throw it, doesn't that make sense? That, you know, that's not the way Houston's overly comfortable.
Right.
They don't often just say, we're going to throw it three out of every four plays
right.
with Schaub. So why not make them do it in a way that they don't want to do it? You know, so even though you might expose yourself to Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels and everybody else, I think that you...
Christian liked it, too. Paul's doing a lot of exposing on this
show. He didn't laugh until after...
Yes, no,
until
he laughed first.
Not until after you laughed.
Because you were talking about exposing a Johnson, too.
So, anyway...
All right, Paul, go ahead.
I feel like they have to try to take away Arian Foster first.
Yep.
And I think they can. You know, I said that earlier. I think they usually sort of these bigger workhorse backs. They don't give them a lot of trouble a lot, and they played pretty well. You know, I know last week Reggie Bush was kind of again the last month plus they've been giving up four and a half to the lead back of the other team. But I think this is a matchup they are very much capable of winning up front.
Yep.
Because that's not a very good offensive line. Remember too,
it's not bad.
That's the
it's
offensive.
It's not a great
line.
Pass protection.
No,
line.
And that's
it's a good zone blocking.
So
line.
That's. Look at Fred. I mean, Paul spreading the knowledge. It's good zone blocking line.
Just stuff that
who
I read.
Paul? Greg Bedard?
Oh! Take you 10 hours to figure
out? You,
well, you know, I watch the game. I don't know if you do. I watch 6, 7, 8 hours of tape on every game. Maybe you guys should try it.
All right, Christian. Tell your mother I said hello.
Oh, you cut him off. You didn't even give him a chance. That's not fair.
So what do you think of the New Orleans Pelicans?
I don't care for it.
Nor do I.
And is that their logo? Or that's a real picture of a pelican?
That was a pelican.
Yeah.
They're going to have one that's covered in oil, too, for their an appropriate logo.
That was just poor. That was just poor to me.
At least it's more region-specific, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Than the Hornets.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really think of Hornets when you think of New Orleans.
Well,
but Hornets can be anywhere.
Yeah. Do you think of Hornets in Charlotte?
A lot of Hornets there? Is that a big honey
no.
industry? The Hornets? No, Hornets don't even make honey. Bees make honey.
Right.
What do Hornets do? Do they die when they sting you?
They sting you.
Yeah.
Do they die when they sting you?
They sting you.
Are they the ones that die?
I don't know.
Some of them die when they sting.
Yeah. You. Bees do, right?
Yeah, some of them do. I don't know. Okay, good bee talk.
All I know is my...
I don't know why Utah didn't change their name when
well,
they
this
moved
is,
from New
I think
Orleans.
There's a lot of jazz in Utah.
I listened to, DA last night.
I got made fun of. I actually used that in the locker room, and they turned it into like a racial thing on me, and it's just like, I don't know. I got made fun of in a way that, you know, even I didn't see coming.
But DA did the whole thing last night. Well, you know, see, what happened should be, you know, and he kept moving all that. So he had like 20 different teams changing their name to make
the Lakers,
the Jazz, yeah. The Hornets, the Pelicans, you know, and getting it all back to the way it should be and like region appropriate and city appropriate and everything. I just like that my Grandmama jersey is going to be, you know, appropriate again if they go back to the same color scheme in the Hornets and Charlotte. So when I break that out at Fred's party this year, it'll be.
Just so you know. There's no way you're breaking that out anymore. There's no way that's fitting you.
Of course it is. Screw you.
You have the C under one breast and the E in Charlotte under the around his back.
You done?
Struggling worse than the Velcro on your visor.
Well. Or the button on your pants. I mean, what are you going with here, fat boy? Matt,
I think you know what
checking
I'm going
in.
With,
Matt
fat
in Maine,
head.
No longer in Oregon. Welker is the subject. Hey, guys, Andy said yesterday what I've been saying all along. Franchise Welker again. I think if Wes himself were smart, he'd be all for it. One more year with a big paycheck, then walk away while he can still walk and think straight. As tough as he is, there is no one tougher. All of the damage his body takes will take its toll later on. Why not make a fortune and get out with your health? I know, of course, that's not a popular mentality for guys like him, but it just makes sense. Besides, with the franchise contract, he could almost make in 1 year what it would take him 2 years to make playing on another deal. I'm a huge Welker fan. I think he and Brady are the heart and soul of this offense, even more so than Gronk. I'd love to see the man get paid and avoid ending up like Muhammad Ali. You guys rule, Matt and Maine.
Well, another thing too, Matt, they have no receivers on the roster. They might have to franchise him for that reason alone. They need bodies there.
I agree with the franchise notion. I think that's an easy fix, but he could make more than that in 2 years.
Oh, certainly.
On a new deal.
He'd probably get a much bigger signing bonus immediately than
right.
That.
So, I mean, to sit there and say that...
about a $14 to $18 million signing bonus then a salary.
To say that Wes should be happy with that... it's a little bit of a stretch. I think he would be losing a lot of money. But at the same time, being franchised twice in a row, if you're able to get that second franchise number, the danger is now. Because if he can make it through healthy and get franchised again, now the player is sort of, you know, won a little bit of...
Still not where you want to be, though.
No, because you don't want to be playing one at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, agree. It's not... That's why I said I don't think it's something that Wes should be sitting there doing cartwheels over. But... it's not a terrible thing for him to say, well, in 2 years I made $20 million.
Right.
And that's not a bad deal.
No, but he could have been
more.
Yeah.
Could have been more. There's no
question.
Could
have another contract, you know, it could still be.
And the more time it takes him to get to free agency, legitimate free agency,
the lower his numbers,
the lower that number
contract.
Yeah, he's going to be 52 and beat up and everything. Okay, we got who's this guy? Cody in NS.
Nova Scotia.
Could be like North.
New Shoreham?
Not that.
It's Block Island.
Oh, no wonder no one knows.
Well, the North Shore.
I saw a thing. Worst run states in America, Rhode Island was 49th.
Oh, yes. I did see that, too. And did you see that he's backtracking on the tree lighting thing?
Oh, yeah. He should.
Miscommunication among his staff?
Go screw yourself.
What miscommunication?
We're talking about the holiday tree that wasn't a tree, the Christmas tree, all that crap in Rhode Island's one of those big debates every year. Wasn't going to have one this year, but... Idiot. Hey, guys, I was wondering what you thought about re-signing the guys whose contracts are up at the end of the season.
Got a few names for
us? That's it?
Well, there's an over-under, but it's not related to that.
Oh.
So I'm guessing he's talking about Edelman, Chung,
yeah.
Volmer, Welker, I guess. Spikes?
No, this
is three. Certainly. None of them have clarified themselves in any way, except maybe Chung, not to.
Yeah, not to, right.
Certainly, I'd like to have Welker and Volmer back, if possible. Now, I'm not even into the numbers at all yet. I don't want to just sign guys at all costs either.
What's a top 10 right tackle get?
I don't know. That's why I'm not into the numbers at all.
That's problematic.
I would not have much of a problem letting the other guys go. Edelman, Chung. You know, if I could get Chung back on a very team-friendly deal, that, you know, I have no objections to having him back. But if he's going to be,
I could take,
you know,
him
like,
I have no interest.
What's the Jimmy Sanders
really
contract?
I don't know.
I don't want to give him that kind of a deal.
What about Gregory? He got 3 and change, right?
Yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah, I have no interest in bringing Chung back. I don't really see the need for him.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd be more open to Edelman coming back as a punt returner and a backup receiver.
Sure. Same
at the
kind
right
of
price.
Thing. Same kind of thing. If I could do it on my terms, absolutely. Otherwise, to me, those players.
And Vollmer scares the hell out of me.
And I think you have a better.
Those players are replaceable.
I think you have a better chance of getting Edelman back because I think teams might look at his injury history and say, why are we going to pay this guy more than we need to? And New England could get him back for sort of a bargain.
And I also think that he may look at it as this is a team that took a chance on me and developed me, and you know I haven't been healthy, and I'm not in great bargaining power. He's not going to knock it out of the park,
no,
free agent wise. So unless he's going to, you know, I'm not suggesting he turns down a 4-year, $30 million deal because of the Patriots,
right?
But I don't think he's going to get an offer like that for the reasons Eric said. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back.
And Vollmer,
I'd like to know how bad he is health-wise.
I don't think I'd resign him because I think he's going to get more money from some other team that says, you know, when he plays, he's really good. And
yeah, that's why I said I don't just want to say I want these guys back at all costs. If someone knocks him over, I'll move on.
All right,
Dante's proven it to me. I can put someone else in.
Let's move. What if Dante's not here?
That's a good point. Good point.
Moving on to the over-unders here. Jones sacks. I'm assuming that's for this game. 1.5.
Under.
Under.
Sacks as a defense. 3.5.
Under.
Under.
Interceptions, 1.5.
Under.
Under.
Patriots points, 34.5.
Under.
Under.
Houston points, 28.5.
Over.
Wait, what was that?
28.5, right? Yeah, yeah, over.
Yeah, over.
Brady TDs, 3.5.
Under.
Under.
Schaub TDs, 2.5.
Under.
Under.
Foster rushing yards, 78.
Over.
Over.
Ridley rushing yards, 68.
Over.
Over.
Welker receptions, 8.5.
Under.
A
lot of unders for Paul.
I'll say over.
I had over on Ridley.
I didn't say they were all. I said lot. Do you know what lot means? Word have meaning.
I had
word have meaning.
Word have meaning, man!
What about the unders on the...
You got your overs and your
there
unders.
Was some of those unders were positive. Like Schaub's touchdown passes, I took the under.
No, I know. I just said under. I said you took under on almost everything. I didn't say it was negative or positive. I just said meaning the guy said his line's too high.
There was tone. There was tone.
There's only tone with you. You hear tone when there's no tone.
You thought that I was being negative.
No, actually, I was just saying the lines were bad.
It was a tonality issue.
You have tonality issues. Oh, yeah. Remind me to talk to you about that.
about your tonality issues?
What did I do?
It's an off-air thing.
Really?
I got two things off-air.
It really needs to be off-air, though?
Probably.
So I can't do what you do to me all the time and make you say it?
If you want me to.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
I don't need. If someone was making fun of me in a legitimate way, I don't need it to be.
No, not making fun of you. Somebody who I think was borderline one to fight you.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get into it off the air.
Okay.
Hey,
not,
guys.
Not the first time.
This is Assad from Baltimore, enemy territory. Well, you're not the first one today. That other guy was enjoying Atlantic Coast Radio. Love the show and have been listening since I discovered it this summer. I was wondering if you guys could comment on the injury woes of the Pats and if you feel they could be what derails this season. The only part of the Super Bowl loser curse I believe in is that the Super Bowl teams are more likely to get injured because of all the extra games played.
I don't know if extra games had anything to do with their injuries, though.
I mean,
in this case,
how do you know? I do think it's a legitimate thing because I think the more games you play, the more wear and tear and less time you have to recover. Although the Giants have been far healthier this year than they were last year, still a lot of injuries, though. I mean, everybody in the NFL. I just don't know how you can look at it and say, oh, that team got decimated by injuries and not say that that team has been decimated by injuries and that team has been. I mean, they all are, you know, every year. It's just a matter of who in January is healthy enough to go on a run. Mm-hmm. That's what the NFL has turned into.
And they haven't. Well, and they.
And when I say who, I'm talking about among the good teams, as Andy said earlier.
Right.
You know, the Houstons, the Baltimores, the Denvers, the Patriots, the Giants, the Packers, the Niners. You know, which one of those teams is going to be healthy enough in January to go on a run? And we all agreed, none of us even wants to try to predict which team that's going to be.
And as far as the health, they have a lot of guys who are playing with injuries.
Everybody.
And it's not – so, I mean, it's not like they lost for the season all these important cogs that you could say, you know –
that's the reason why they're not going to make it, is because they were without, say, a Gronk or a Hernandez or Welker for an entire year. These guys are playing hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to at least give them credit for that.
Sure. I give Sebastian Vollmer a ton of credit for the performance the other day, even though it was a bad performance. You know, he did what he had to do or thought that needed to be done, or they asked him to do, whatever it was.
I thought it was really interesting. Greg Bedard today wrote something, and it sort of went counter to how you and I were thinking. He wrote that he hopes that he just got beat by Cameron Wake, by a dominant performance by Cameron Wake, because if it was injury-related, then that's a concern because, obviously, he's not physically able to hold up. Whereas you and I were like, I hope he was dealing with a back problem that allowed Wake to do what he did to him.
Well, it depends.
I suppose that's two different ways of looking at it.
How bad the injury is.
Yeah.
Like, if it's an injury, if he's going to look the same exact way for the next month and a half, well, Greg's right. That's a concern.
Yeah.
You know, so I get, I can see where he's coming
absolutely.
From.
Absolutely. I think it was an interesting sort of twist.
Chad Martin, do you guys agree with the Patriots being 4-point favored in this game? Is Houston really the underdog here?
Yes. I think so.
I think the odds makers look at it that way, yeah, because New England's at home.
Sure.
Houston's had the three road
games.
The
old 3 points.
It's the spot as much as anything else. It's on the road, Monday night, third road game in a row.
This is Lucas chiming in who called it. Yeah, Andy, I live in Rio de Janeiro. You would like the beaches here. Lots of tatas. Eric would too, but he'd probably try too hard to communicate with our women with a mixture of French and Spanish and get shot down in the process. Take care.
In both languages. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Lucas. Eric's not playing along today.
At what point does that rule that you like to...
What rule?
You know the rule. The HL rule. At what point does that come into play?
Oh.
But it's not... It doesn't stand anymore. You got a girl. I thought you had a girl.
I guess not.
Oh. So we're back on that rule again?
Okay. Rule's back in place.
Yep, I thought it was... thought it had been broken.
Let's carry on.
Well, it was, but I mean, it's not, you know...
Would you like to explique a favor?
No, I wouldn't.
Come on, we got one more minute. I'm dying to find out who wants to beat me up.
Yemi from Texas. Andy, Mayo is not the second best inside linebacker in the NFL. The San Francisco... Wait, yes, I know Navarro Bowman's great, and he just signed a contract. I'm just saying, everybody used to think Mayo was the best. He's in that
talk
now.
I also think, in Andy's defense, that he's played like one of those linebackers this season.
And I'd also like to know how Jerod Mayo would play with Justin Smith and Alden Smith and Patrick Willis. I think Jerod Mayo doesn't have as much talent around him. How do you like dem apples? Who am I talking to? Yemi. I have a question about tiebreakers. Even if Houston beat the Patriots, they can still lose their remaining games, including two losses to the Colts. The Pats, Colts, and Texans could all end up at 12-4. What is the tiebreaker in that situation? Could the Colts fail to win the division even though they beat Houston two times and have a better division record because of the three-way?
No.
Houston will have a common opponent advantage over the Colts. They would have beaten the Jets, Bears, Pats, teams the Colts lost to. But, yeah, that would be head-to-head for the division.
The Colts and
then it would
Texans tiebreaker would have to be broken within the division,
right.
And that's head-to-head.
Then it would be a Houston-Patriots
tie. And then you would be in the Houston-Patriots, and if the Patriots beat Houston, then...
Sorry, Houston, you have a problem.
Correct.
Should I keep going, or is John Rook coming in?
He is. He's running a few minutes late.
Okay. You want me to just keep going?
So you want to go for another, like, 5 minutes?
I can do that.
Shall we vamp?
A little late, too.
What'd you say? What's starting a little late?
We started because of it was my fault.
Yeah, he effed up. Remember?
The only thing is the locker room is open.
No, 2:15.
Oh, I thought it was 2.
2:15.
Oh, okay.
So we're perfect.
Yeah, we got plenty of time to vamp.
I'm going to hit that raw dog and bail. Cavern in Gainesville, Florida. Hey, guys, it seems like Houston's second best receiving threat is Owen Daniels. How has our defense looked against tight ends this season? I don't remember any besides Keller in the first Jets game doing well. This game is starting to take on the feel as if the Jets' Monday night game did 2 years ago. How about you all?
Which game?
Jets game 2 years ago. I got two guys contributing to their phones more than this show. Now I know how Fred feels.
Well, because we're past the hour.
Are you on the show or are you off the show? I'm yelling at Paul.
I know
he's
you are.
Not even acknowledging
no, he's not.
It. This is an embarrassment to him.
Remind me of the Jets game 2 years ago.
I don't know. That's what Paul usually does. I can't remember the Jets game last week.
What's the question?
Oh, the 45-3.
Okay, are you going to take part in the game again?
Well, you guys started yelling, and obviously no one could contribute to the show other than me. So
I don't. I don't see a 45-3 unfolding on either side.
I do have, however, have in the back of my mind a Patriots blowout win.
Except you're picking the Texans.
I mean,
you're pulling an Andy Hart and covering all your bases big old fat tarp.
More accurately, it's pulling a Fred Kirsch. I'm not going to be surprised by anything that happens, and then I'm going to tell you about it after the fact and say I told you so.
That's an Andy
Fred,
Hart.
That's Fred Kirsch in a nutshell.
I like to tell people what I said.
Fred Kirsch said, it's like these division games. I told you, I wouldn't be surprised if it, but Fred, you picked the Patriots to win and cover. Yeah, and I wouldn't have been surprised if that. Okay, so basically, no matter what happened, you would have been saying, that's what I thought was going to happen. Pretty easy to predict the games when
sure.
you do that.
Tony in Toronto says, Andy, you led off the show with a comment that I've been thinking about since. What if whoever is on Watt actually does punch him in the gut on every play? What is the penalty on that? Unnecessary roughness? And even if it is a penalty, would an infraction like that more often than not get lost in the chaos of the line of scrimmage? Sometimes it might, but I didn't really literally mean punch.
No, I know you didn't.
You know, linemen, that is called their punch.
Yeah.
And you can punch with open, and it's legal. If you hit a guy in the gut, generally their arms come down. I mean, it's kind of what happens. If you're up around the chest and patty caking them, their arms are coming down.
Because everybody's ticklish under there.
I think more so everybody's like weak
in there.
You
want to tickle J.J. Watt when he gets to the line?
Tickle me Elmo.
Although he's probably not weak. I bet you he's got pretty solid abs.
You think?
He's not like your typical fat
you think?
Defensive lineman that might knock the wind out of him. He's built like a Greek god.
JR
John Rook just walked
here.
In.
I didn't get the memo on the uniform today. What the hell's up with this?
Wow. It's just what
Fred
makes
us do. We'll mock you. Mr. Polo.
My
Ralph Lauren.
Because you finally have a colored shirt on and not all dressed in black, black, black.
I like black.
Or burnt orange.
Plus you have a lot of free stuff from PC. Right?
Absolutely.
So what do you got going on? Traffic out there? What's that? You know, we had to cover for it. Usually you're here waiting for us to get off the air and
you're
we have to fill your shoes.
No, well, you know, it's about time somebody did. You know?
That's right.
That's absolutely
I can't
right.
fill your shoes. I mean, you're a legend in this industry.
Yeah, right, exactly. Legend in my own
you've
mind.
You've created your own, you know,
my
first
own,
down. And
in my own mind.
Do many sports very well.
Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Houston Texans, is going to join us.
He's just ignoring me now.
Yes, so. Yes. As he is right to do.
The overconfident Houston Texans.
You think they're overconfident?
Ask him about their confidence and their mental state. Are they a mature enough team to deal with A, losing this game, be winning this game on, you know, how could they?
Sounds like a great question from Andy Hart.
Well, you know, and hopefully you can get the answer.
We'll find out.
And Eric's going to stick around with you, right?
Yes, he will.
Oh, wait, he can. He's got locker room.
He's got locker room.
Yeah. So you're going to be all by yourself. Usually Eric's the by one.
I'll have to solo it. I'll have to solo it.
Well, enjoy your show. We're going to officially sign off for a Wednesday edition of PFW in Progress. Hopefully Fred Kirsch will be back tomorrow so I don't have to read all these emails and be over here and I can just sit in the corner and make stupid, immature comments. Until then, for Paul Perillo, for Eric Scalavino, and even a little taste of John Rook, stay tuned for the playbook. This is PFW in Progress. Out.
Is moving slow, and so am I. Workday passes like molasses in wintertime. But it's July, getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. My boss just pushed me over the limit. I'd like to call him something. I think I'll just call it a day. Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.